Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome aboard to this Tuesday evening edition of Head On. I am, of course, Bob Kincaid. And just tickled pink to be with you this evening. It is the 7th day of October, and we are all a titter, are we not? Over the upcoming tussle in Nash Vegas. Sorry, I didn't have enough time to come up with something really cute and kitschy that goes with Vegas. I mean, it's too cool a town to call it the tussle in Bud Tussle or anything. No. And, the brawl on Lower Broad? No, because, this is going to be at, the religion industry, fundamentalist school. Belmont. I don't know why I was about to say Wellington. But, Belmont College, I believe, in Nashville? Should be a lot of fun. I guess there's no suspense insofar as old 894 John McCain's McHoover's campaign isn't in suspense or anything weird like that. No, he didn't suspend for this campaign. No. He's on full bore, and if you're like everything that I'm seeing today, tends to indicate that most people are expecting him to channel his inner Lee Atwater and just try to turn this into a sleaze fest. So if that's the case, you might want to get your political paregoric out. And be ready for some truly nasty right-wing vilification, low road style.
I
don't know. What do you want? You tell me. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Do you want Barack Obama to match sleaze with sleaze, or do you think he does better by taking the high road? I mean, I gotta say, the sort of bare knuckles brawler in me, he's a little tiny guy, lives way deep inside my superego. If Reverend Wright is mentioned once, just wants a Barack Obama to look over and starve. At least that's what your pastor buddy. Yeah, that's what your pastor buddy said there, John Boy. Starve, Pastor John Hagee, whose endorsement never sat in his church or nothing John. But you chased after him like a dog sniffing after an old pork chop bone, didn't you, John? Starve!
You've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. You no longer look to God, you look for a check in the mail. In the Bible says the man that does not work should not eat. I still think that ought to be the law in the United States of America. If you don't want to get up off your blessed assurance and go to work, starve! I don't care! Starve! I don't feel sorry for you! Go to work!
Yeah, because you're out there just setting them up, knocking them down, Pastor Hagee. You and your hard work, we can all tell from that trim, trim waistline that you maintain there, how much work you're doing outside San Antonio on your multi-million dollar ranch. thousands and thousands of acres. But, of course, nobody really gets to find out how much you make because it's a secret just between you and Jesus. You get those little old ladies, little old ladies and little old men's checks in every month, and you walk way out back on the ranch and you put them all in a big hat and you throw them up in the air, don't you, Pastor John? And what God wants never falls back to the earth, and what falls to the earth you get to keep. That's how it works, isn't it, John? Starve! Wouldn't hurt you to do a little of that starving there, Pastor Hagee. Or, you know, maybe we can talk about Rod Parsley. Yeah, what was his signature line? We were created for the conflict, born for the battle. We get off on warfare. Do your fangs drip when you say that, Brother Parsley? You follower of the Prince of Peace, you? Yeah, you missed that whole blessed are the peacemakers part of the Bible, didn't you? It's not in yours, is it? No. So do you want to see Barack Obama come back? Yeah, there you go, Mark Levine. There it is. No place for the bashful in Nashville. I don't always count on Mark. Quick, Mark is. Now, you want to see if Barack Obama can get just as mean and nasty, or do you want him to take the high road and be above all of that trash talking Republicanism? Well, John, while you're sitting there wallowing in the mud, we're going to talk. Well, I'll take my time to talk about solving America's problems. How's that, John? Of course, that's mudslinging of its own in its own right, and a beautiful sort. It actually is. So with the debate coming up, and you know, whether it's a debate or not is open to interpretation. Depending on how you feel about things, by the way, if you want us to, John Fox and I will do the play-by-play commentary, and you, of course, can jump in as well if you wish during the debate. You're more than welcome. Let me know how you think about things. But with all the anticipation of this evening's discussion, I invite you to share your thoughts on what you expect out of this debate, whether or not, well, you know, this is in Tennessee. This is supposed to be one of those solid for McHoover states. Could it turn it around? Do you think it will? Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yeah, Sandra.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How about you? Hadn't heard from you in a while.
No, you know, I'm like neck deep in academia. What can I say?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say alligators and trying to make luggage.
Oh, no. I just came back from my little trip to London.
Oh, how did that go?
Oh, it was interesting. You know, I love the cabbies because they're so astute, right?
Right.
And, you know, they all was like looking at me like, you know, to tell them that McCain won't become president, then people more freaked out than you and I.
Well, they have reason to be. I mean,
yeah,
I said,
as we go, you certainly go, the way it's all interconnected, especially Britain, more so than the continent. You know?
Oh, yeah, if we sneeze, the UK gets the flu.
Yeah, they're having big problems, you know, with their, I think their economy, they don't really lie so much. I mean, they do lie to their people, but it's not as pervasive and, so, you know, shrouded and rah-rah. They're already talking about recession, you know what I mean, in their media. They don't pretend otherwise, so.
How is it framed, Sandra? Is it in terms of you people won't actually elect that old cretin, will you? Is it that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no. They're like, first of all, they ask, you know, they're concerned about the Palin. They think that's frightening. And then they, you know, can't imagine that McCain is still in the race. And then they remember that he's tan. And, you know, they can make connections. And they just hope that, you know,
Did they say much about the Caribou Barbie?
Just that they, you know, nothing, they don't really have much of a handle on the cultural aspect like you and I might, but they just see her as not very coherent, I think one said. That was the word that stuck in my mind.
Or intelligent, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, and they're just really sort of in disbelief that Obama isn't 40 points ahead or whatever, you know.
So
they don't they don't really understand too much why. You know,
they don't. Well, what you're telling me is they don't understand the broad, deep, slimy undercurrent of racism that still flows through this country.
Yeah, you know, it's just sort of, and it's even more debilitating talking about it when you're overseas. Can you imagine?
Oh yeah,
it's bizarre. It's like I just think, yeah, what, you know, it just makes me think, yeah, this country is really bizarre, you know. On that level, when you're talking to sort of, you know, non-Americans about it, they're like, you know, they don't even know what the hell to make of it, you know.
Well, what are they? Did were you able to ask them anything, Sandra, about their response to the looting of the American taxpayer and the Wall Street heist and the so-called bailout and all of that stuff?
Yeah, they don't. You know, no, I didn't really get too much of any kind of interesting analysis out of it, except for it ain't gonna work. You know, which is my, you know, I was saying that before, and I mean, look at what's happening.
Kind of looks like folks like you and me and most of the Horn audience are being proven correct on this. It's nothing I take pride in. If $700 billion would have turned it all into Frisbees and wheat checks again, it would have been fine by me.
Well, no, exactly, but I was, you know, I remember I was talking to you a while ago saying that this is like somebody's idea of a bad joke, and, you know, please prove me wrong, but every day I'm looking at, it's not even so much the stock market as other indices are really whack. The latest is this fool, now that he's king of the world, wants to buy commercial debt now.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, what the hell? And they're saying that that could even be a bigger amount of money than this $700 billion, which was some made-up number anyway. You know that, right?
Yeah, that was that was over Bloody Mary's Sunday afternoon at some little bar in Georgetown.
Yeah, so basically, I had a really funny discussion about, you know, how the British Empire declined and, you know, how we're not in similar straits because the British had a bit of a cush, you know. They kind of softly fell, you see. And we seem to be going the way of the Romans.
Yeah,
it's not going to be soft.
You mean being thrown off the Tarpeian Rock?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Because the thing about Britain is, yeah, they lost their empire, but they still managed to keep a welfare state and relations with their, quote, commonwealth. And, you know, it's just sort of was, you know, not bad being second, you know.
Well, a lot of truth to be had in that. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the numbers and
don't.
Oh, I know. Well, this is over at MarketWatch, and I'm trying to sort out the differences. On the one hand, I've got a story from Think Progress that says Dow plunges 370 points, closes below 10,000. On the other, it
closed 508.
Well, right. I'm looking at MarketWatch, and it says down 508.39. On the other hand, however, for those who are into the advertising on right-wing radio and so forth, gold closed up $15.80. That's never a good sign.
Not when you you need your currency to behave as if it means something. It ain't.
Behave like something besides something that's handy for making little miniature paper airplanes. And right.
Yeah, it's like. Welcome to Argentina. I mean, I don't really know what's going on. I just think that the fact that they've snookered the taxpayers or ripped us off for that near trillion, and these bitches will be back hat in hand because they're creating these huge banks, right? How many are left? Three? Three major ones, right?
Yeah, three top, yeah. And we've proven to them that we can be blackmailed.
And not only that, but they're not being forced to identify their toxic debt. You see what I'm saying? So we don't know how deep this runs.
Well, the other thing I find interesting in all this, Sandra, is a note that I got from Sophie yesterday indicating that some of the banks are saying, yeah, you know, we're not really sure we want to play in this game.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, because they don't, you know, they're so freaked out at the idea of some accountability, right? Well, you know what? As the Reverend Hayes says, starve, okay?
Fine. Well, and it can start with him. I mean, the
well,
starvation begins at home for Pastor Hagee, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I just can't. You know, I'll never that whole sermon just traumatized me. I can never shake it. You know how some things you hear or see, and it's just there with you.
Yep.
That is. I've never heard anything like that, and I still can't describe it to anyone. They have to hear it, right?
Yeah, it's almost like you want to put it on your iPod and go, here, listen.
But I don't want to share. I don't want to subject people that I care about. You know what I mean? I don't think they deserve that.
But sometimes though, it's it's like some sort of an intervention, isn't it? Yeah.
You know
no,
what?
This stuff really happens. I'm not kidding.
Oh, I would love to play that to some of these precious professors I have who are still laboring this neoliberal utopia that is cracking around them. I'm like, wake the hell up, you know? But I keep quiet because I need to continue getting my A's. You
yeah, don't yeah, don't forget the whole theory of shut up and pass the class.
I have my own agenda. But anyway, listen, I am just sort of dumbstruck by this economic business because there don't seem to be no end in sight. And everyone's like looking at me like, oh, Sandra, you know, whatever. And I'm in the meanwhile sort of having a, you know, just thinking, well, it looks kind of serious to me, yo.
Well, it does, doesn't it? And I don't know. I had an email last night that was set me to thinking, doing some long distance thinking, Sandra. And I don't know where this stuff ends. Do you?
Well, no, because see, there was no end to the free market. You know what I mean? Because as with any kind of utopia, it's, you know, fantasy world. And that's the thing that people don't understand is that just because, you know, a bunch of wankers in Chicago came up with this idea of, you know, free market fundamentalism, there is no difference between that and communism. You see what I mean? It's still extreme.
Sure it is.
And it's, look at it.
And one, frankly, if you want to get down to it, one leads to the other, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, this is the thing. That's what I'm always saying about predatory capitalism.
I mean, isn't Walmart's goal to make sure that there are no other retailers in America?
Well, and then, you know, where does, you know, then you're dealing with, I don't know what, you're not dealing with any sort of competition. And, you know, the whole thing, it's just, if it wasn't so simple, it would be funny, but it's just sort of, the propaganda aspect of it is what's making my head reel, because I still talk to people who seem to think that we're laboring in some sort of, you know, free market, you know, good
paradise.
You know, you're able to make as much money as you want and no impedance. You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure, like, and that's the whole history of the second half of the 20th century in many ways. Is the recognition, because you know your history, Sandra. The United States started, what, our first stock market crash was 1796?
All tied up with the French machinations, you know what I'm saying?
And we had panics and crashes and depressions throughout the 19th century. So finally, by, you know, the 30s, they started thinking it might be possible to keep this boom and bust thing from happening. But the only way it would happen would be if you watched it like a hawk and closely regulated it and tried to maintain some sort of a baseline.
Yeah, and use the government as a stopgap between, you know, because it's merciless, this sort of capitalism that we've come back to, because I swear to God, they completely took apart the protections that we had, you know, after the last madness. It's just amazing to see. And people are scrambling around trying to figure out, oh, what, why, passing huge bills without any regulations or rules. I don't know. I was in England when they passed that, you know, bailout, and I just thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. Who in their right mind thinks this will work? Because, like you said, Paulson just made up the number. And this is beginning to take a toll on the American people. I saw some statistic earlier today that, what, 8 in 10 Americans are stressed out to some degree or another by all this market business. And without sharing the author of this, let me just share a few words with you from an email that I received.
Mm-hmm.
talking about the United States. He says, I fear the lack of learning has outstripped the nation's ability to go forward. We are not bright now, nor shall we be for some time. We're so screwed right now. Even if Barack wins, they will tear him down. We must put things in the vault that will matter two generations from now. And I'm hard-pressed to disagree with that. Because, you know, the thing that bugs me is that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had going for him the possibility of re-election. And so, as a consequence, he had multiple terms. Because nobody wanted to change horses in midstream and see the recovery screwed up. Well, that doesn't exist for Barack Obama, assuming he's elected. You know, and that's the curse of our process, isn't it, Sandra? The minute somebody gets elected, Republican or Democrat, right after they've thrown away the last plastic champagne glass from the inaugural, they have to start running for term two.
Oh, no, not only that, but it's like every damn time the Republicans or conservatives or whatever fascist wing is in power decide they want to run the government and the finances into the ground, there's always some pathetic Democrat waiting around to try to, you know, have power. And it's just like a joke, you know, because what is he going to do, really?
And that, you know, there's complicity in the Congress. I mean, I have real concerns about our ability to climb out of this.
Well, especially with this sort of leadership and these people who labor under mythology and fantasy and ill-informed whatever. I think most of the Congress, I mean, I hate to say it, but I probably know more about bits and pieces of how the government runs than some of these people I hear on the floor. Scares me.
Oh, I'm not at all impressed anymore with the intelligence of your average member of Congress, because I don't think that they got there on brains. They got there on money and a little bit of the rankest form of ambition.
Yeah, I know, and whatever, you know, charisma is involved in that sort of endeavor. But, you know, we are so far beyond that sort of incompetence, you know. We need something, but they've destroyed the notion of government so bad that all your best and brightest are, like, elsewhere, you know?
Oh, I know, and it's...
I don't know, I don't mean to belabor the whole economy thing, but this has really blown up in our faces. I don't think the Bush administration thought this shit was going to happen right now. They must be... Really?
No. This was planned to happen on the watch of whoever came in next.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying, because
this is the idiotic prankster who puts the bucket of piss over the door with the door cracked and then walks through his own door into his own practical joke. You know what I'm talking about? This is pratfall stuff. This is how ignorant and stupid and pig-headed and mean and greedy the Bush administration are.
Yeah. No, they couldn't even plan their own exit. I know. It's a joke. But, I don't even know. I mean, I just want to shift gears for a minute. Are you going to be checking out this debate?
Yeah, I'm thinking John Fox and I are going to do play-by-play tonight. We did that last week with the Mussolini show. And I think it'll be interesting to sit here and let it roll and, you know, just have hissies whenever he opens his mouth and the bats fly out.
Well, I have to say, you know, I really watched that Saturday Night Live clip. That's so wrong and so funny. I wonder if that's taking its toll on Palin.
Yes, it is, to the point that they're talking about bringing her on to make fun of Tina Fey.
Well, she might kill Tina Fey. They better have some security.
Yeah, I mean, this woman is conversant with high-powered firearms.
Exactly.
I'd run the wand over her before they let her through.
Yeah, because that last skit they did with the Queen Latifah thing, I was like, oh, no, that is not right. And that Biden person was hella funny, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. He turned in a great job, but nobody was watching. Everybody, shut up and let Tina Fey talk now, okay? Because
yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the real debate, but I mean, Biden was pretty low key from what I understand, huh?
He didn't stick his, you know, he didn't tickle his tonsils with his toes or anything from sticking his foot in his mouth.
He wasn't talking about.
And he sat there and took it when she, to his face, called him a liar twice.
So he didn't have any sort of ethnic slip ups?
No.
Oh, that's good. I guess they told him to just be quiet, right?
Yeah, well, I think they told him, you know, if you just, because it's like the Queen Latifah said at the beginning, if she doesn't vomit, you're supposed to think it's a tie.
Yeah.
And so he knew going in that the only way he could really screw things up was to make it obvious and call her the blithering idiot that she is.
Mm. Well, no, but I mean, they really, you know, I have to say shallow, but they were so wrong what they did. The Queen Latifah to make her look like Gwen iPhone. Of course, what popped in my mind was Imus calling her like a maid. Remember that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, no, I hadn't until now. Thanks a million, Sandra.
And when Imus said that, you know, I was rolling. I had to be indignant in different company, but otherwise, I was like, wow. Oh God! Sometimes I wonder about myself, but yeah. So
and the, you know the little flute segment just murdered me when I realized that those five notes that she'd played were the hustle. Yep, bang right there, the hustle.
I was too busy laughing. I'm thinking, no, they did not have her do a talent segment and the everything is Maverick-y. That was unbelievable.
And for those of you playing a drinking game at home, Maverick.
Yeah. That's the last we've seen of her, right? No more debates with her.
Oh, it may very well be the last we see of her. I mean, they've got her going to retirement communities in Florida now. It's gotten so bad that the press crew that does follow her, I don't know if you've run across this or not, but the press crew that does follow her, one of these last trips, they kept the press locked inside the press area to prevent them from writing what they called negative things.
Do you ever look at the Huffington Post?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you, you know what, I pray that you saw this. Did you see that picture of Obama and underneath it said negotiations?
No.
I was like, wow. I don't know what was happening with the press laying of the letters that day, but that, yeah, it was spelled N-I-G, okay?
Well, and now you'll note that I think it was CBS that ran this in dealing with the latest non-issue, this William Bill Ayers business.
I can't believe they have like brought that back again.
Well, but wait, you're gonna love this. This is one of those Ginsu moments. It was CBS on the font down beneath called him Willie Ayers. Nobody's ever called him Willie Ayers.
They don't make this fool black. No.
Willie Horton, sure.
Willie Ayers. I'm still traumatized by the Fannie Mae commercial where they put the two black men together. You know, they can't ever show him with other black people, Obama. Right?
Right, right.
Yeah, well, he was there. His face was next to his other black face. You know. Oh, God, no.
And you know, the guy that wrote The Abomination?
Yeah,
Jerome Corsi?
That freak, yeah.
Well, he decided he was going to go and do some fact-checking in Kenya.
Oh, and found somebody?
Yeah. No, he didn't get a work permit, and he's cooling his heels in the cooler in Nairobi now.
Oh, he's in jail?
Oh, yeah. Didn't get a work permit. And the last comment I saw from some Kenyan official was, you know, we really don't know what we're going to do with him. I was just sitting there thinking, I would share the same, because you don't know if you want to shoot him or hang him or just, you know, turn him loose among a herd of wildebeest when they get going. It's all fun, you know, all by me, okay.
Well, wait. I mean, this is unbelievable. Okay. You got the a son of Africa about to become president of the United States, and your dumb white ass is going to go over to Kenya, and you don't think, come on.
Well, you're no. It's your dumb white right-wing conservative is going to go over there, and poke those people with a sharp stick.
Yeah, and it's no, and I'm saying you, and you think that
he was. Oh, but wait, Senator. He was invited by Christian missionaries who were concerned about the corruption that's been brought about by the Barack Obama fan base and how the Muslims are all taking control of Kenya.
No, listen. This is, I already have the image in my head of. Remember that scene in The Godfather when the girl from Annie, what's her name, Diane Keaton, told him that she had a boy and she aborted it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he said, "Do you think that I have all this power and I'm not going to keep my kids?" Remember that scene?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? You're going to go over to Kenya. You don't think, oh, please. I'm sure.
I just hope they keep him for a while.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, do they not think that Obama isn't in it to win it? What the hell? Wow.
But the idea that he was going to go over there and find the truth about Barack Obama.
I don't know what the hell he's going to find. Anyway, that's a good one. I didn't. You know, I have to say, some of these right-wing people, they some DAs.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, dumber than a bag of homemade stupids.
Well, that just made my day. That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Well,
welcome. And I didn't know you needed a work permit in Kenya. But I'm thinking if you're Jerome Corsi and you've had all this, you know, you got all this right-wing publisher money and you're dealing, you know, the Swift boat money behind you and everything, somebody along the way can find out that, you know, if you show up there that you need a work permit, because he was going to broadcast live and send dispatches from Kenya and interview the scary people. Oh, yeah.
Well, he must have thought it was 1913 right quick, huh?
Yeah, that's what he was. He was Lowell Thomas going to cover going to cover Lawrence of Arabia.
Or some out of Africa type scene. I mean, these people are just mind. They just blow the mind. I don't know. Anyway,
They're never. None of these right wingers are ever going to win the Nobel Prize for brains.
Oh no, but I just I don't even know what to think. I'm still I'm kind of thinking that Obama might win it. What are you confident now, or are you?
Oh no, I'm far from confident.
what do you think is in the works? You think we're still in store for something major, say around the?
Sandra, I don't. My magic eight ball has a crack in it, and all I get these days is answer hazy, ask again later. But what I do know is that it's like the old wives' tale about killing a snake around the house. That sucker's not dead till, even if you cut the head off the snake, it'll still twitch until the sun goes down. And so I will not say that Barack Obama is the president of the United States till long about November the 5th. Because they're going to cheat and they're going to play dirty all the way to the end. All of these brand new registered Democrats in Florida, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, all over the country. No way the Republican Party is just going to quietly let those people go to the polls and vote. That is not what Republicans do. So they're going to fight this all the way to the closing of the polls on Election Day. Don't kid yourself.
And then we have this sort of dead man's period between the election and when these freaks are supposed to vacate. Yeah, I'm scared of that period too.
Sure. And well, we had a little poll about when George Bush would attack Iran. And I nailed down the first week of December, but the best vote may have been the week after Thanksgiving. You know, when everybody, or the day after Thanksgiving, right? You know, the weekend there, when everybody's gone shopping, catching the huge, huge pre-Christmas sales.
Oh yeah, with all their money. That's a joke.
And you know, remember, we were told by the likes of Crystal and the rest of those thugs that if Barack Obama is elected president of the United States, then Israel really will twist the screws on the Bush administration. So because the critical date is not, you know, some date that Iran gets a nuclear reactor, but rather January 20th, 2009, when the little people, when the little jug-eared, pig-eyed louts that they've been able to manipulate so far get out of office.
Oh, and you know what? And I hate to say it, but Israel definitely distorts our foreign policy. So who knows about that one? You might be right.
And all of that happens after November 4th. Because
no, but Israel, they have a different prime minister. Isn't that Zippy Livy or whatever her name is? Isn't she
no.
the former government?
Yeah, because Olmert stood down. But for me, the discomfort comes in knowing that, well, what, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the Congress will meet, what, 2 weeks? Tops?
And then that freak will just be there, huh?
Yeah, and he'll just be sitting there. I mean, consider that, I don't know, maybe it went down today, but it was expected, we talked about it some yesterday, Sandra, that Henry Paulson was expected to name a guy named Kashkari.
Yeah, but that freak used to work with him at that...
It's at Goldman Sachs, sure.
Right.
And, you know, this is a 35-year-old guy who's going to be handed $700 billion to play with, and they're not even going to bother submitting his name to the Senate because he'll lose his job on January what, 2nd, 3rd?
Okay.
When the new Congress convenes.
Okay, back to hell up. Another incompetent is going to be in charge of, this is... So banana republic like. Are you kidding?
No, it's for real. This guy, the newly created Office of Financial Stability.
You know, more grab of power. This is amazing.
Yeah, he's got from whenever he's appointed, today, tomorrow, whatever, he's got from then to about January 2nd to spend the $700 billion. I mean, this is a white boy version of Brewster's Millions.
No, but I thought that they're only giving a portion of it.
Well, they think they are.
Oh, no, wait, that's right. And then the president can get another 100 before he has to go and even look sideways at the mother. Sorry. At the
yeah, table. Right. But, yeah, same. Yeah, right people. Right name for that matter. So it's a conservative estimate, so to speak. If he's got between now and then to spend $350 billion, he can do that in a day.
Oh, no. I mean, all of this...
No oversight. Yeah, remember you weren't here, but on the floor of the House, it's, well, you know, we'll fix all this when we come back in. Well, thanks, guys. Do you really promise that you'll close the barn door after all the horses are gone? As long as you're promising that, we're all right.
No, you're telling me someone had the nerve to say that again?
Barney Frank said it a half a dozen times if he said it once.
We want to keep our powder dry. I mean, these people are unbelievable. The thing that's...
Yeah, don't shoot till you see the reds of their eyes.
No, the thing that stuck in my mind was this one congressman who said he was told if they didn't vote for martial law. Did you hear that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. That was there.
That was like, you know, that kind of just went under the radar. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what is really going on? You know what I mean? We got this military over here practicing, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's practice. It's just practice. You know? Not even real bullets. Oops, I'm sorry. They are real bullets. And the so-called new non-lethal weapons, they've got those too.
Yeah, but no. But why do we have a army division, you know, practicing for domestic unrest? I mean, what are they here for? Domestic unrest, right? That's what I heard.
And what are they expecting? That's the question.
Well, that's the thing. If this market drops a few more thousand points, they might have to.
Right. Well, it's the guy with the sign standing on Wall Street. This is jump, you effers. You know, there's a groundswell of unhappiness out there. Like I said, the statistic, you know, 8 in 10 people, 8 people in 10 are, you know, just flipped out. Yeah. Study, 8 out of 10 stressed due to economy. That's 80% of the American people.
But do you know, unfortunately, how easy it's going to be for them to handle any possible unrest? Because, you know, we are just so
citizen, return to your home. And then, yeah, and then there's the then there's the program all through the American South where the preachers are supposed to stand up and say, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants you to go home and trust your government.
No, I know. I saw that story, too. That was appalling. But no, I mean, the police state is already in place. It's sort of like the Patriot Act that was ready in like 2 minutes. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, whenever I'm driving out on the road and I see somebody that's been pulled over, without fail, around here, the police officer is dressed all in black with these bloused out trousers and a black T-shirt and a black ball cap. You know, like he's the SWAT traffic division or something. And there's and no more name tags. Name tags are gone.
No.
What's your badge number? What's your business with it?
Yeah, no. Is that true? Are you seeing more? Because I know when they had those arrests in St. Paul or wherever it was that people didn't have name tags. Are you seeing that just on beat cops?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just, well, see, that's what scares me because I don't think Americans won't even know what hit them, and they'll be scrambling to do what they're told, you know?
Well, that is our first, that's our first inclination. I went down to have a prescription filled today at the little local Rippy Mart drugstore, and I walk in, and what's playing on their Muzak in the store? From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, I'm glad to be an American. You know, that's not just some pimply-faced teenager saying, and now I'm going to play the Lee Greenwood nightmare. Thank you, citizen. Purchase your drugs and leave. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah,
God bless America.
You know, I mean, how many times have you had this discussion about some hideous calamity happening before this election? And, I mean, I wasn't thinking economics, but economics, war, terrorism, well, it's all the same, right?
Sure, and that's the way they got us working, Sandra. They had us, regardless of whether it's the people that were trying to figure out what really happened on September 11th, or others of us, we were geared toward looking, you know, where's the bomb going to come from? Where's the, you know, we had people calling into the program saying, you know, they're gearing up a false flag attack on an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. All of these things, and none of us were saying, wait a minute, they'll just trash the economy. And that's what they did. I mean, they're thugs, but every now and then they're creative. And you know, they got the polling data and everything. I don't mean to sound paranoid, but they've got the polling data, and they can tell where we're looking and where, you know, the trick to being a great magician is to have them looking at one hand while the other hand's doing all the business.
Yeah, no, I just, like I said, I mean, I just am sort of at this point, you know, I'm out of the prediction business and just in the keep my eye over my shoulder. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, there's ugliness galore going on in Afghanistan.
And
of course, and Pakistan, and they're trying to tattoo Barack Obama. Well, didn't you hear? Oh gosh darn it! I heard him say that all we're doing over there is bombing civilians, and I just don't think that's very American for somebody who pals around with terrorists. Don't you know?
Oh no! And he happened to be black, in case you didn't know. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, that whole thing is being implied, and also the problem is that it's true. Every other week we're bombing some wedding party, right?
Well, it's a natural outgrowth of a military strategy that relies primarily on air power. Because, we learned with Bush War I that all that BS about smart bombs and, hey, there's the luckiest man on the Euphrates River, haul, 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 because we're going to hit that bridge with one of our genius bombs. Well, it turned out that our genius bombs weren't nearly as smart as we thought they were, and they killed a hell of a lot of civilians.
Oh, yeah, all that is just a load anyway. The smart weaponry, please, that kills so many people. It's just a joke.
Well, and, you know, there's a philosophical thing, Sandra. It may be smart, but it ain't moral.
Oh, no.
You can't install morals in a hellfire missile.
Yeah. Oh no, it's all just madness. But listen, I gotta go.
All right. Always good to talk to you. Glad you traveled safely home and didn't get roughed up by the TSA or anything. Did they steal your laptop?
No, I didn't take anything like that. I took I think I took a Freedman book. You know I did.
Just what insurance? I mean.
I was reading this Milton Friedman book, but you know it comes in handy.
Oh, sure.
No one bothered me.
Yeah, right. Hey, look, she's reading the right guy. Well, you know how I am about flying. I recommend that everybody go through airport screening in flip-flops and a bathing suit. Good to hear from Sandra. Let's roll it along and see what happens. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
I sure was glad to hear from Sandra again. I missed her.
Well, and who knew she'd been traveling out there being the Horn's foreign correspondent.
We just have to share her with them.
Well, I suppose so, and they should count themselves lucky in my book.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. No joke. I wanted to tell you what happened on The View today.
Yes, please.
You know, I told you Sherry, she's the new one that that she had never voted before, and she's been studying. She comes up with some good ones sometimes. She today, they brought up again, and Barbara was on there trying to keep it from happening, but, you know, Elizabeth has to say something about the terrorism thing, and what's his name? Reverend Wright.
Oh, yeah.
And Barbara says, can't we get away from that? Said, those things happened. One of them was 40 years ago. And then now the Keating Five, that was about 16 years ago. She said, there's people that you can look at their lives and they've changed, you know, and they're not the same person. She said, my daughter gave me a hard time when she was in her teens and all. Now she's just totally different. And she was a troubled teenager. I guess she was really troubled. But anyway, you know, seriously troubled. But anyhow, then she says, but you have to remember these things. You know, you have to be. And so.
You do that way too well.
Well, Sherry then says, look. And she was kind of steamed, you know. She said, look, she said, what about the Keating Five? She said, no, maybe he was found not guilty. I don't know. But she said the person, the Keating, was who was his friend. He was. And he stole from people. And they lost all their money. And it affected them. And she was talking about, and then Elizabeth said, oh, you're getting all upset. You're mad. And she said, no, I'm not. I'm just telling the truth. And she said, calm down, to Sherry. And I said, boy, how like the right wing that is. You know, I thought for a while maybe she was sincere, but she don't mind telling lies like Sarah Palin tells lies.
Oh, heck no.
But I was so proud of Sherry. And because she was trying to say, oh, you're getting all upset. And you know, then she'll turn around and cry. Well, Barbara will take her in her arms and say, there. So I'm thinking, why don't you do that to Sherry sometime? I'll tell you something else. She just is not going to let that go.
Oh, right. Well, because as long, but you see, we've seen it a million times wherever right-wingers show up on TV, and what they'll do is they will scream in case anybody starts making points. Just start screaming. I mean, Elizabeth does that. And the only way to counteract that is, Reverend Wright, and just say, Reverend Hagee, Pastor Parsley, starve. Okay, you done now? All right.
Well, Sherry, she's getting very informative. And she said when I watch the debate, she said I write down everything they talk about. And she said that she said the other day after she watched the debate between Palin and Biden, she said I felt so good because I knew Biden could take over if something happened to Obama, if he, you know. And she said it made her really feel good.
And there's truth in that. Does anybody out there really think that Sarah Palin is capable of being a heartbeat away from a 72-year-old cancer survivor's presidency? Please.
And Tom Hartman, I heard part of his program today, and he was talking about how they're both of them are going around, you know, and speaking and saying, you know, Sarah's the new attack dog for one. And she's saying, like, he runs around with terrorists. And there's people out in the audience that say, start calling him, you know, the N-word. And some of them have said, kill him. And nobody, she don't say nothing. Nobody says nothing. And the same thing with him. You know, people are saying, you know, they're getting people stirred up, and they're saying, well, he needs to be killed. You know, and I would think, Tom Hartman said he thought that that was, should be against the law.
Well, it would seem to be a no-brainer that it should, doesn't it?
Right, but.
But.
Of course, you know, like you say, they're Republicans. There's a different.
It's the ultimate double standard.
Them.
Yeah, oh, it's fine. Yeah, fine,
standard.
Fine. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, but the thing that I'm concerned about tonight is Tom Brokaw. You know, he's stood up for,
He'll do a slant job of monumental proportions.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, I trust him. I mean, people, you know, oh, he's so wonderful. I don't know. I didn't think so before, and I definitely don't think so now. When they said that he'd been hired to take Tim Russert's place till the election, I kind of just threw up my little antenna ears, you know.
Oh, and still, you know, the right wing's out there doing the best that they can, Juanita. Here's Flush Flemball's brother, David. Headline, Sarah Palin energizing conservatives. Sarah Palin's finally giving red state conservatives a voice, and she's taking it to the other side without apologies.
Well, actually, some Christian groups, but I don't know if they're right-wing Christian groups, they're asking her not to tell lies like that, you know, to stir people up. But you know that Pat Robertson has predicted another nuclear strike.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, he went insane again now, didn't he?
Yeah. And they said he predicted it last year, and he said, well, either people were praying a lot or, you know, or God, you know, changed his mind or what, something like that. But,
Well, you know, I think the blood doesn't flow to his brain very well anymore, Juanita. After all, he can leg press 7,000 pounds thanks to his energy shakes.
I know. One time years ago when I still thought maybe he was a nice guy, he had something that was, you sell, it was a sales thing, and you were guaranteed you'd make money. Guaranteed.
Free money. Come on over. Got lots of it. Money's free.
And Florida, after a while, Florida forbid him to advertise in the state of Florida because they said it was a pyramid scheme. It was something akin to, I think it was vitamins, and it was something akin to Amway.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, and I can't remember, but yeah.
Because I was thinking, well, they're getting...
Oh, I remember when Peter Godbold was, I remember when Peter Godbold was talking about his Sea of Galilee mud mask that Pat was hustling.
That too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in all kind of stuff. He's in some other kind of vitamins the last time I heard him, I guess last year or something, about he's some kind of vitamin stuff, you know. But, oh, well.
Well, it's the vitamin stuff that lets him leg press 700,000 pounds or 70,000 or, you know, fundamentalist of steel, whatever he is now.
Well, all that money he got from, who's the guy that's owns all the radio stations, the billionaire or whatever his name is, from London, from England.
Oh,
You know, he bought the Christian Broadcasting Network and made it into the Family Network, and nobody told anybody, you know, about it. I didn't know about it for a long time, but he got like $2 or $3 billion for that. And nobody that has supported him that made that station, people like me, you know, we made that station happen.
Sure.
And but
you weren't in on you weren't in on the Dodge.
It was nothing.
No.
And you know, I know that some of my money went to build that Heritage thing. You know, now it's supposed to be
it's a non-denominational Christian water slide or something.
But it was started right there.
Sure.
He was always wanting those buildings to be built. They're like big colonial buildings. And the Heritage Center, that's exactly where it started.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Well, so is the View thing just going to continue to blow up, or is Elizabeth going to take her right wing ideas and go play with people of her own kind?
It would be nice if she could go to Fox and get a belly full, you know, get satiated. How do you say that? Satiated. Is that how you say that?
I like belly full better.
I like to be a little pretentious now and then.
Well, you're allowed. You're allowed. But the thing is, you know, yeah, sure. Let her just go to Fox, you know, the home of the cutie blondes.
She's got a great job. I mean, she's got a fantastic job.
Oh, well, on The View, all she has to do is open her mouth and be stupid and get a check.
But she wants to be the whole show when it comes to things like that. And, you know, that's the way it goes. People have something they can't appreciate. Well, they're talking on the Internet like she's going to go to Fox or quit or something, but I don't know.
Maybe they're trying to gin up right-wing viewers for The View, so they'll say, oh, no, please, Elizabeth, stay.
Yeah.
Battle those heathen liberals. We must have a conservative voice.
Yeah. She's got a lot of supporters. She's got a lot of them, but I'll tell you, it's interesting to have something like that on.
Oh, it is, and please bear in mind, there's the combined effect of all those supporters that she does have who watch that are right-wingers. You know, her IQ plus all of theirs doesn't come up to Whoopi Goldberg by half.
No.
Well, exactly.
Whoopi Goldberg looks kind of flumbozzle sometimes.
Well, you know, and sometimes she might be, but you've got to consider what she's having to put up with. If I was one of those ladies, first of all, I'd be very ugly because I'm, but if I was one of them, and I had to deal with the likes of Elizabeth Hasselbeck, my poor little pumpkin head would just explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure that about half the time, Joy and Whoopi and Sherry all together just sitting there, please, God, don't let it blow up. It feels like it's going to. Just make her stop.
Yeah.
Make her shut up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, she shocks them sometimes, you know, especially Sherry. And some of the things she says, she keeps on harping on all the stuff. She'll count them like on her hand. This and that. It's the same old thing over and over again.
Well, you're going to watch tonight, right?
I'm planning on it. I sure am.
Okie dokie. Well, it looks, I just got a note from John Fox. He says he's got our audio feed all set up and ready to go.
Okay. And,
so we'll have some fun with it tonight.
One thing I wish that would happen, I wish John would explode, John McCain. He'd really get mad tonight.
Well,
really mad.
I don't know if Barack could politely needle him into that or not, but... But then again, you got to remember, this is the same crowd that brought you George Bush, so he's probably on enough Xanax to drop one of those mooses that Sarah Palin's so fond of butchering.
Yeah, and the woods, and she don't care about the.
I mean, just watch when they bring old 894 McHoover on. Just watch to see if he doesn't have a glazed look in his eye and pupils big as eggs.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, those TV lights are bright. If he's got big pupils, you know he's working on something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, Juanita, you have a good night.
You too, and take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye now. Okay, we're coming up on the end of the first hour, but let's keep it rolling just for the fun of things. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, brother.
Hey, what's up, Albert?
I'm just happy that you're going to be here for this debate. I was missing you. We were all missing you in that last deal. And, you know, where do you begin? Pakistan's going bankrupt. Iceland's going bankrupt. Everybody's going bankrupt. Now, I'm going to say some stuff tonight that probably a lot of people are going to go, because I think this stuff's from the new paradigm. But I got an email message, and I'm going to do to you what you do to us. Well, I'm going to share it. It's like one of those things that you see, and I I have to. I just can't. I can't go to my grave knowing that you didn't hear this. So if you could humor me for a moment.
Consider yourself humored.
Yeah, so sit down, everybody. Relax. Sit back. And I'm going to try to do this, okay? I get a message from my mother. And she's like, what do you make of this information? I'm not sure if the history is true. I mean, she doesn't pay attention to the history. Do you know if these are true facts? Blah, 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 blah. So my mom basically wanted me to do what I'm about to do. Ready? Here's the message.
Okay.
According to Revelations.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, here you go. This is a matter of opinion. And opinions are like, well, you know, everyone.
Oh, my God, I got to ask. Is this the Antichrist email? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, this is the best. This is a good one. Hang on. This is real good. My personal opinion, I agree, in red letters. A lot of Americans have become so insulated from reality that they imagine that America can suffer defeat without any inconvenience to themselves. Pause a moment. Reflect back. These events are actual events from history. They really happened. Do you remember? Ready? Number one, in 1968, Bobby Kennedy was shot and killed by a Muslim male extremist. Note, when I say Muslim male, it's always in big red letters, okay? In 1972, at the Munich Olympics, so athletes were kidnapped and massacred by Muslim male extremists. Number three, in 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Iran was taken over by Muslim male extremists. During the 1980s, a number of Americans were kidnapped in Lebanon by Muslim male extremists. In 1983, U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut was blown up by
Muslim male extremists.
Yeah, here we go. The Achilles Laurel, TWA-47, blah, 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 blah. Pan Am 103, 1983 World Trade Center, Muslim male. I don't have that much grit in my soul for all this garbage. Kenyan.
Does it go all the way back to 1948 when a Jewish male blew up the King David Hotel? Just curious.
Absolutely not. It's only 13 references on 9/11, Muslim male. You know, in 2002, I like 12 and 13. They're my favorite. In 2002, the United States fought a war in Afghanistan against Muslim male extremists. In 2002, reporter Daniel Pearl was kidnapped and murdered by, you guessed it, Muslim male extremists. And here we go. Now, I don't really see a pattern here to justify profiling, do you? So to ensure we Americans never offend anyone, particularly fanatics intent on killing us, airport security screeners will no longer be allowed to profile certain people. Absolutely no profiling. They must conduct random searches of 80-year-old women, little kids, airline pilots with proper identification, secret agents who are members of the president's security detail, 85-year-old congressman with metal hips and Medal of Honor winner and former Governor Joe Foss, but leave most males alone lest they be guilty of profiling. According to the Book of Revelations, the Antichrist will be a man in his 40s of Muslim descent.
There we go.
Deceive the nations with pervasive language and have a massive Christ-like appeal. The prophecy says people will flock to him and he will promise false hope and world peace. And when he is in power, he will destroy everything. And now, for the award-winning act of stupidity of all times, the people of America want to elect to the most powerful position on the face of the planet, the presidency of the United States of America, a male of Muslim descent who is the most extremely liberal senator in Congress, in other words, an extremist, and in his 40s. He will not hold his hand over his heart and say the national anthem. Why? It is because this song of devotional loyalty to our nation. Oh, can you hear it? Have the American people completely lost their minds or just their power of reason? I am sorry, but I refuse to take a chance on the unknown candidate Obama. And then it ends with Forrest Gump, as stupid as a stupid does.
Yeah. Yep, that's the one. That's the one. I believe some portions of that were first generated. In fact, our buddy David in South Carolina sent this along. They were generated by the mayor of a small town in South Carolina who said he wasn't saying that Obama was the Antichrist, but he just wanted to know if there was a scriptural basis for believing it.
Well, I wrote back too, because you know how they, you know, they're so stupid, they leave all the headers on the forward. So I wrote back, "I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me, and when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain." And it just wipes away all that filth. It wipes away all that extreme, utter, prehistoric hypocrisy. These people and their system is over. If this is where they're at, they don't know what time it is. Who buys that? The Walking Dead buy that.
No, the Walking Terrified, the Walking Racist, the Walking Bigot, sure.
They exist. Sure they do. Sure they do. But you know what? When their world, as it is currently collapsing, when it completely comes to dithers, they're going to be too busy in their little, in their fallout shelter. These are the Chicken Littles of life, these people. Muslim male. Come on now. The Antichrist? Man, who are you kidding? Like, seriously. Wait, what are the bombings in Lebanon have anything to do with? Anything? What, are you kidding me? Didn't the Marines land? I mean, that's one of my earliest memories, is the Marines landing in Lebanon.
Well, there's a memory that goes before that. And that is the fact that they had a staff meeting. And all of Ronnie Reagan's advisors said, "Mr. President, they're on the carrier. The Marines are on the carrier. We can get them anywhere they need to be in a matter of minutes, and it'll be much better logistically to have them on the carriers there, where we can transport them to a hot spot at the drop of a hat."
Yep.
And Ronnie Reagan said, "No, I want to show the flag. Put them in the barracks."
They're sad, stupid little people. And you call me an elitist all you want. I'll be happy to wear it. That means I'm good at something. You know, I'm not afraid of that. In half a heartbeat, the guy who was writing that filthy, disgusting, ridiculously, absurdly inane email, that's that guy with wrestling's real. I was trying to channel him. It's still real to me, damn it. Bob, money is over. This whole system that we have is over. Like, we have the opportunity right now, okay, to, like, all this clangling and bangling and all this stuff going on, all this commotion back behind us is like the soliloquy of the cave. And now people are coming back from pure enlightenment saying, "Hey, look, there's something more than this." And that's what all this is. This is our opportunity to stand up, look around, realize, wow, we're not dead. You know, this is for us, I guess, you know, I hate to be so corny, but man, grab our destiny. Our destiny, I mean, and who hasn't come to this revelation while you're sitting at work? Your life is not your job. Your life isn't working at some nonsense. We have the technology now to meet all of our needs, and our jobs can be putting that technology to use for the betterment of humanity. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we're just sitting there talking about, they always talk about money. They talk about, oh, it's too expensive. It's too expensive to go here. To who? Why? Why would it be expensive? Shouldn't this be something we just do? You know, like shedding old archaic paradigms that just enable the very few to own the very many. You know, not for nothing, Bob. Slavery back 500 years ago was better than this is. You see, because back in the day, the slave masters would feed them, would give them medical benefits. Not just invite, you know, and sure, they made them work, but, man, well, I guess today we get happy pills. What do you want? But regardless, you sit there and you look at what our system is. Our system is economic slavery. You tell me how much happiness and joy it comes from this system. How much? I mean, this system is so ethically depraved of anything in that nature. I mean, we're using children to make the clothes on your back. sitting there pumping oil and bombing countries so we can have energy, man. We got the freaking core of the earth right
there. Yeah, meanwhile, the McHoover campaign is so desperate, Albert, that they can't send Sarah anywhere but retirement centers and the hardest of the hardcore centers of right wingery.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah. Well, you know the story about her appearance. It's a Washington Post story. And she got her audience yelling "Kill him" about Obama.
Terrorist.
Yep.
Terrorist.
And then yesterday at a campaign appearance in Florida. And I'm sure you already do know about this, that according to the Washington Post, at an appearance in Clearwater, that the media, the reporters, were jeered at and shouted at and taunted. Now, I might do that to members of the for-profit media, too, but for an entirely different reason. Like, you know, hey, you over there, do your job, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But that wasn't this. Mussolini blamed the fact that she was an idiot on camera on cutesy Couric.
Mm-hmm.
At which point the Palin drones, Palin supporters is what it says here at America Blog, the Palin drones turned toward the reporters and waved thunder sticks at them and screamed verbal abuse at them. And then there was a camera crew, and obscenities were voiced at them. And then finally, there was a sound man who, for that rally, was all the wrong color, and screamed, "Sit down, boy!"
Wait, did you say something? I couldn't hear you over "I'm proud to be an American."
Yeah, right.
I'm playing loud in my ear right now. Yeah, oh. Can't hear you.
From the halls of Abu Ghraib to the streets of Fallujah. Yeah, I know.
Just something else, boy. It's something else. This whole mentality, this whole nonsense has just really got to go. They don't even understand how self-destructive they are within themselves.
Well, you know, that's like that list of Muslim male terrorists. I didn't hear. Is Timothy McVeigh on there? I didn't know he was a Muslim male extremist.
That was my first thought. Where's Timothy McVeigh? Where's
David Koresh?
Where's any of these?
Where's Eric Rudolph?
I don't know. Where's that, I'm not going to call Lee Harvey because they did say Sirhan. Isn't that just a stupid bag of worms to open up? Sirhan, huh?
Yeah, get the gun, Rafer. Get the gun.
Yeah, get the gun, because it's got 11, 12 rounds in it. Yeah, you heard that, right?
Oh, yeah. I know it. And everybody else knows what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, good. Hey, good. Oh, yeah. You know, so, I mean, we're sitting there talking about, you know, we're talking about opening up. This is how stupid these people are. What are you going to do? The only thing you can do is say, shut up, sit down, let us lead the way here. Because that's essentially what they're doing anyway, Bob. When they sit there and pander to the biggest mouth-breathing troglodytes on planet Earth, okay, when they're sitting there talking to the morons about this kind of crap, well, morons, as many of them as there are, okay?
Yeah.
It's still only 20-something percent.
And the morons were listening all across the South this past January during the campaign season. You remember, and it seems so long ago, doesn't it? Do you remember when, I think it was in South Carolina now, wasn't it? It was in South Carolina where radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckabee showed up with none other than right-wing action figure Chuck Norris. Remember?
Yep.
And
he's old and weak.
Yeah, well, right. And Chuck Norris said, and this is a quote, "If John takes over the presidency at 72 and he ages 3-1, How old will he be in 4 years? 84 years old. And can he handle that kind of pressure in that job? Norris said as Huckabee looked on. That's why I didn't pick John to support, because I'm just afraid the vice president will wind up taking over his job within that four-year presidency, added the action star.
Everybody, Chuck Norris, Oracle and Prophesizer.
Well, he has that special redneck ninja knowledge, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He's got his redneck kung fu. His sails on his leg splitters must be dwindling. But nah, yeah, and you know, McCain. I mean, come on, look at this guy. Tonight's a night. I'm just gonna laugh. Because it's just going to be hysterical. Because he, you know, if he would have just kind of kept on the course that he was on right before the first debate, you know, before everything really started kind of collapsing, before he freaked out, you know, I'm talking about before he suspended his campaign. And if he would have kind of kept on that, you know, at least you could. Respect this guy. At least I could have respected that he was a human being before. Now, hey, look at what he's doing. You know, there's rules to Fight Club. You know, there's inherent.
And what's in the first rule?
Yeah, you don't do that. But still. And, you know, McCain doesn't even know it exists. That's his problem. This is how they're conservative. They think it's 1950. You know, they think crazy crap like the economy is sound. And that's another thing. It's like he's using words. It's like, I mean, I'm just getting Princess Bride in my head. I got that movie in my head constantly, too. I got all kinds of.
I don't think you understand what it is that means, that word.
Yeah, you say that word a lot. I don't think you understand what it means.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. Never start a land war in Asia. They never mess with a Sicilian when death is on the line. Yeah. I mean, that's what McCain, you can't be sitting there playing race card already. Race card. You know, Bob.
But they've been playing a race card all along.
True, but now the gloves are off. You can't even pretend. What are they going to do? Who's going to clack? See, that's what smart.
Willie Ayers. Willie Ayers.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. Too bad all these people that are registered to vote have no idea who the hell that is. Thank you, educational system, for sucking, because now nobody knows who really is. Oh.
Yeah, but you got it, and I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, this is all playing Beatles records backwards or what, I don't know. Maybe they play Lee Greenwood backwards. No, they can just play that forward, and it does the same thing. This is just code to them, because they're not expected to immediately go, oh, Willie Horton, yeah, same guy. No. It all works subliminally.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, George Bush told us about all that subliminal stuff.
The subliminal messages. Yeah, he's a, you know, I don't know. I honestly got to say, you know how I like strategery. And I just got to say, man, Obama is doing damn good. He's doing good. He's got good judo. I don't want to keep regurgitating it, but, man, he's got some good judo. He sits there, and he lets them play this, and he looks at them, points at them, and laughs. And that's the kind of stuff that wins the generation that I come from. You sit there and laugh at somebody for saying something stupid like that. I mean, you know, all right, fine, let's play Chris Matthews. Obama's definitely the cool kid in this race. All right, let's play high school crap. He's the cool kid, right? He looks good in glasses. He doesn't look like some Weekend at Bernie's freak, you know? Some corpse with freaking Oakley sunglasses on, right? He looks cool. He looks chill. He's comfortable. He's calm. He moves his arms in a nice, fluid way. You know, he's got a nice smile about him. He can say words eloquently. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we know who he is. I mean, mainstream media even knows this. We know who the guy is. We know what he's done. You know who the hell's afraid of the big bad librarian? Not me. So why the hell are you afraid of the community organizer? You know, like, he's been an 8-year-old terrorist in training. That's the kind of nonsense these people say. All you got to do is go to, like, what the hell was the name of this one site that I was... It's not important. Anyway, I was sitting there looking, you know, I'm spying on the enemy. You know, and I'm sitting there reading this crap. I'm convinced that he's an agent. I'm convinced he's a Manchurian candidate. Remember when we were joking about that?
Yeah, the McCain-Churian candidate.
But they're talking Obama that is like that. These people are complete... Man, I'm proud to be a moonbat because I don't know what the hell they are. I don't even know it. I don't even understand the genius or phylum or anything that they're in. I don't understand these people. I mean, they're just... Bah, and I don't want to be too negative on them because they're stupid and they don't know any better. But, I mean, come on now. These guys are... Man...
I know. Let's check out this and see what comes through on the audio just for the fun of it.
The McCain campaign.
Oh, it's on. Okay.
Wait. What do I have on right now? I don't know what I've got on.
I'm a Washington outsider.
For the base, a revival hall to keep the Palin gospel alive. So the campaign rented out an 11,000 seat stadium in St. Louis for Palin supporters to watch the debate taking place a few miles away. The finale, a victory lap.
Well, okay. I wonder what audio I've got on.
What was that scary screaming in the background?
Oh, yeah. Who knows? It's Republicans. I mean,
that was Maniac. What is that?
I bet I know what it is. I bet I know what it is. I gotta find it. It'll just take me a minute.
Man,
those sleaze bags, those right wing thugs.
They're just coming apart. They're literally collapsing. It's. This is like an extinction-level event. That's what this is. And it's like, you know, those that whose minds can't wrap, they're just like, you know, we always talk about our minds exploding and our heads blowing off, you know. It's them. They're the ones. They're just going to, maybe that's the rapture. Amen. Praise Jesus.
I know.
It's the rapture.
I know.
That's the rapture.
Well, you know, that's what Homer said. It's the rapture. Hide the boy.
Even Homer ain't stupid enough to vote for McCain. Come on. I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah, never a dull moment.
Seriously, though, we do need to... I think when the dust starts settling, we need to look at a new system. We need a new ism. And we need an ism that's, you know, based on... I mean, I'm not even trying to say like a collective, but like, man, you know what's a good... Just like people sat there and looked at Jules Verne and said, man, that guy's got some good ideas. Submarines and airplanes and blah, 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 right?
It could happen.
It could happen. And let's look at Gene Roddenberry. You know, in a lot of the science fiction, that's like in terms of non-dystopian, you know, which is my favorite genre. But, you know, Gene Roddenberry... You know, that's not... Star Trek isn't that far into the future. You know, it really wasn't. It's not... I mean, it's like...
No, but I did notice Kevin Pollak the other night from an old routine of his noting that even in the 24th century, they've cured cancer, but they still can't fix baldness.
Oh, well, hey. Why would you want to?
Right? Nah, I know.
Why would you want to? I mean, I know I can't really talk because I got hair, but still. That's... It's whatever. But
yeah, thinning. Yeah, mine's thinning, but it's still there, and right.
Well, so we've been through a lot of stress these last 8 years. I think we're all allowed to look like, you know, Patrick Stewart.
You'll be glad to hear this. This just in from Jason. That once a Huckabee supporter in the Republican primaries, Chuck Norris proclaimed his support for Ron Paul on the Alex Jones Show. How fitting, October 1st. Chuck.
Not for nothing, though.
Thanks, Jason.
I'd way rather have... Wait, Ron Paul or McCain? If you had to have one.
Canada.
Well, yeah. But
no, I'm Kobayashi Maru in this one. Honest to God, Ron Paul or McCain?
Yeah, come on.
McCain.
Really?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Really? You'd rather have him as president?
Yeah, because...
Not to run against. I mean president.
As opposed to Ron Paul?
Yeah.
Ron Paul's crazier than a sprayed roach. John McCain's just old and doddery. And, you know, and Republican-y. You know, this is, I mean, Ron Paul, you know, jump right out there. You know, Ron wants to jump right out there and fix Social Security by taking out behind the barn and killing it once and for all, because our old people need to lift up themselves by their own bootstraps.
Well, McCain's killing Medicare.
Sure he is. Sure he is. But
so they're the same. I think they're the same maniacs. The only thing is, I don't think. I just got to go with the guy who's not going to ignite nuclear holocaust.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah. See, that's the side. That's the Ron Paul side. In so far as, well, you know, he doesn't like the foreign interventionism. I don't like either one of them. And frankly, I was in an exchange last night. I said, you know, should John McCain win, I don't know what in the hell I'm gonna do. I mean, I don't have the bucks to bug out, but I mean, it's tempting to say, well, you know, I'll go to some civilized country like Chile or something.
Mexico.
And you know, one of those countries that we're a debtor nation to now, and find something to do. You know, as long as we got an internet, I can take the equipment with me.
You know, I'll tell you what, though.
Broadcasting live from exile, it's Bob Kincaid, you know.
I honestly, brother, I don't see it happening. I just don't. I don't see it. I have called every election that I've been consciously aware of. I put it in the bank. McCain is not winning. I mean, it's just not happening.
Well, you know, I really would like to see one of those down goes Frazier kind of moments tonight. Just see Barack Obama put him away so that there's no hope. But I don't see that happening, Albert.
No, because Obama's got him in a rear naked choke. That's why. McCain is out. He don't even know it. You know, just because his arms are flailing don't mean he's still alive. That's nerves. Remember the snake? It takes a while for
until the sun goes down. Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He's dead. No, he's dead. I mean, if they're going to sit here...
Figuratively speaking, you know, we don't want anybody accusing us of doing what the freaks did in the Palin Palin little Clavern rally or whatever.
He's knocked out. Okay, there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Secret Service. Yeah. Anyway.
Down goes Frazier.
I mean, he's Chuck Liddell. You know, and honestly, when my brother took me to watch that, I don't know if you saw that UFC fight, but if you want to see a hell of a knockout, you can go watch the Chuck Liddell and the other dude. I don't even know his name. So
I'm just glad you didn't say he was once a Kimmed.
What?
Well, no, I'll just leave that alone. I was actually expecting that, but that boxer that got killed in the ring. No, I'm just glad.
He didn't get killed. He got Chuck Liddell. He's if anybody knows UFC stuff. Chuck Liddell is one of the heavyweights, and he's got, you know, he likes to throw these wild, flailing punches. Now, I saw it as symbolic to McCain, because that's how McCain's been fighting. You know, like, oh, he's got this big knockout, and maybe he used to be able to, but Chuck Liddell's also getting a little older, and this guy's a young pup. Anyway, this young pup's kind of acting afraid, and he's backing up, and Chuck Liddell keeps coming in with these huge haymakers, and maybe they'd hurt. I don't know. I always found that the straight punches and the ones you don't see coming are the ones that get you, and sure enough, that's what happened to him, and he got knocked on the chin. He was throwing this huge uppercut with no lead because he's a professional fighter. What the hell is that? I don't even understand that. You got a lead. Seriously. It's an uppercut. You're going to leave this. Anyway, sorry. You know, he sits there and leads this huge uppercut and takes it on the chin with this giant blast. Man, I'll tell you what. Go YouTube it. You should see it. He knocks him dead. I mean, he was out when the second the glove touched him. And he was out, boom, to the floor. Yeah, I saw that. That was my omen. I knew that. Since then, that's kind of what's going to be happening. That's like, you know, just like, you know, Ali got beaten to a human hamburger, and all those, you know, all of our positive progressive heroes got snuffed out, and then we had to endure the 70s and the 80s. I don't think this century is going to be the same. I don't think we're going to see more of the same. I think we're going to see a whole new day. I think we're going to see a whole new world. I think we're going to see a world where education is paramount, and, you know, like survival and clean and cleanliness you know, is on the forefront. We're going to hear about that. We're not going to hear about job creation or this, because we have the technology now to feed everybody on the planet. We have this now. We have the technology now to put, you know, to put solar panels and geothermal units and wind and all the other junk that we can.
Yeah, all we need is the will to do it, and
that's what it takes.
That starts November 4th.
Well, that's just like that movie Garbage. It's not so much just this presidency. The nice thing about this presidency is it gives us a tool that's going to listen to us and maybe help us change this. I mean, if it's McCain, then there's no hope there. But in the sense in Obama, we're hoping that Obama's smart enough that when everything collapses, when this whole entire economy shuts down, the whole entire world, Bob, Pakistan, now that makes me nervous. Pakistan being bankrupt, that makes me a little nervous, but you know how they do it. They like these fire sales, and these guys are going to go in and buy everything. And I say we do. And I say what happens is when the chips fall, someone has to be there to turn the lights on so we can see who has all the cookies. Because then we know who to blame. And then we can say, okay, boom, and we're going to know who it is. You're going to know who's going to have all the cookies because they have all of them. We have the Internet now. They're going to have to shut everything down, Bob. They're going to have to completely evaporate everything in order for us to be subdued like this. And I don't think they can. I really don't. You can't. You know,
well, but that's the thing, though, Albert. You're awake. I'm awake. This audience is awake.
Yeah.
There's still millions and millions of Americans who are still all broke up about Clay Aiken's announcement.
Yeah, but you know, buddy, honestly, there's such a minority now.
Well, you know, maybe that's the lesson out of that statistic about eight in 10 Americans worried about the economy. Maybe 4 in 10 of those 8 in 10 are actually wondering why and trying to find out.
Yeah, Bob, look at all the registered. Look at that. That rejoice. I'm serious.
No, Albert, no, I won't do it. You can't make me. I will not rejoice until every vote is counted.
I know, but I'm just saying.
If I wake up November, if I wake up November 5th and it's clear and it's absolute, you know, I'll head right for the cabinet or the fridge. That's when I'll celebrate.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. You're going to have something to celebrate about. It's going to have to be. Look at it. I mean, what he's getting. And I love, don't you love the money? You know, wouldn't that be funny? You know, these guys, these clowns. Can't you see some Republicans writing these? Who's got that kind of money to drop 11 grand into them with these silly names that are going to be picked out like nothing? You know the Obama donors that are trying that?
Yeah.
You know, and big deal. What was it, $11,000 like McCain? McCain has the same crap. I think they both do that. And kind of like, that's kind of like putting grounds to each campaign. So in case one does something, you can ground it right back to them and then nullify it. But, you know, I'm telling you, man, you sit there, you look at this, and then the more negative they get, you know, what's Bush approval rating? What's Bush's approval rating? What is he? 27%?
Yeah, about 15% higher than Congress's, but yeah, who's counting?
Yeah. Well, you know how good that feels to sit there and after being, you know, after hating on him for so long, you know how good that feels to sit there and see that? I was a 5%er, Bob.
I know. I was a 5%er too once upon a time. Hey, Albert, I got them stacked up, brother. I got to roll.
Oh, absolutely. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. See you. Bye now. And Albert, don't forget to send the Snopes link back with that Antichrist email. Oh God, he believed that stuff. Let's see. Let's roll along and wait. Wrong button. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
It's Amber.
Hi, Amber. How are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing okay. I was just going to call in for the first time with some good news, but my head is still spinning around from that Antichrist email.
Yeah, it'll do it. It's hard to listen to that and not just, you know, shake your head till the marbles rattle. It is. But tell me the good news. I'm needing it.
Well, I got registered to vote yesterday, and I am now officially a Democrat.
Yay, you!
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to tell people. I have a physical disability, so it was hard for me to get registered. So I just wanted to put out there for anybody that's needing an alternative way to register, there is a site called justvote.org.
Okay.
That has a bunch of PDF files you can print out so you can register to vote. And in every state, there are people that will help you register. I didn't know this until yesterday, so I thought maybe somebody else would need the information.
Oh, I think that's very valuable, Amber. Justvote.org?
Yeah. It's one of the Google things, so you can Google it. And, like, I sent Gene a little article with a link in it, so maybe he'll put it up there for me. I don't know.
Okay, but, wonderful.
But, yeah, and for anybody that knows Revelation, they would know that the Antichrist isn't going to come until there's peace in Israel for a while.
Well, it's
I don't know why.
You're absolutely correct in that assessment, Amber. And also this email saying, well, you know, he'll be a young Muslim male and he'll be, you know, I hate to break it on the dirty, rotten, lying, scoundrel fundamentalists, but Islam didn't get invented for another 400 years plus change after Revelations were written. So, you know, for crazy old acid tripping John of Patmos out there doing solitary on the island to come up with the name Muslim, I mean, at least with Nostradamus, you have to play with the letters a little bit to come up with Hitler.
Yeah, and besides the right wing fundies that love to read their Left Behind series that take that as truth when it's fiction, the guy that was the Antichrist in there is Romanian, not Muslim. So I don't.
Well, lucky for me, I've never read it, so I appreciate the information. But that's the thing. They're getting it from books like that because, as I've said on a million occasions, Amber, they're much better at thumping their Bibles than reading them.
Yeah, they usually thump it over people's heads so they don't have to think.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, I know you're busy, but I was wondering, I'm feeling stupid. What time is the fun and frivolity going to start?
Let's see. You're on the West Coast, so that would be 6 p.m. yours, if I understand correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and what channel? What network?
If I were you, if you've got cable, I'd go with C-SPAN so you can avoid the icky talking head for-profit media commentary as much as possible. But that's
Aren't
just
they
a suggestion.
All icky talking head for-profit media?
Yeah, but you get a little less of it with C-SPAN.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I'll definitely look out for that. And I'll probably call in more, but I just wanted to call in and tell everybody that. And by the way, Juanita, if you're still listening, the word you were looking for is satiated.
Okay, satiated. There you go.
Yeah. I like playing Scrabble, and I've been listening that long, so I just thought I'd help her out.
Yeah, but I still like Bellyful though.
Yeah, Bellyful works better. Anyway, I love you guys, and I will talk to you again soon.
Great. I look forward to it, Amber. Call in anytime, all right?
Okay, I will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Justvote.org. That's kind of inspiring. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Philip Rockwell.
Hey, Philip, what's up?
Oh, not much. Getting ready for another debate tonight. Funny story, after the one last week, you know, after I lost my mind, Biden and Palin talking about, well, yes, we support rights for gay people, but, no, well, gay marriage, no.
Yeah, she's just, yeah, Sarah's just tolerating gay folk all over the place.
Well, I put carne asada on the stove, and so... Verklickin' and upset over this whole thing that I forgot I had it turned on, so I turned the flame up instead of off. So I smoked myself out of the house.
So you had, instead of carne asada, you had carne en flama, on fuego?
Yeah, literally. So smoke pouring out the house and whatnot, so I had to listen.
Yeah, I don't think it would be good for me to mix my French and Spanish and say that you had, you know, carne en flambe.
But... Oh, Agnes tore it up last week with that. You got to let her get on the mic more often.
Well, most of the time she's busy playing mommy. Otherwise, she'd be back here more.
And then tonight, I'm expecting a debate that has a lot of the stupid questions. I kind of remember one from 2004.
Are we really going to get the damn boxers or brief question, Philip? Do you really think so?
I don't know if we can get boxers or brief, but, you know. Excuse me, Senator McCain. Have you ever noticed that the lump on your face looks like Mount Everest? You know, dumbass questions like that.
How many kittens did you save today, Senator McCain? Senator Obama, how many did you stomp? With that speech impediment Tom Brokaw? Senator McCain. Right, yeah. I'll be slow.
We'll see what happens with that, but I'm still fuming about that whole gay marriage statement by Biden, and the same one probably we'll hear again if asked again tonight from Obama. Because that sort of thing... Even if you stand there and pander to the Christian right about, well, yeah, but I don't support gay marriage if it affects the religious ceremony or the sanctity of marriage. People hear that, and kids hear that, and that just reinforces homophobia. Now, today is a 10-year anniversary of Matthew Shepard being crucified.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah. Literally crucified on that fence in Wyoming. 10 years. Now, and that's basically what my program is about today. I talked about Matthew. I talked about my own experience in 2000 about being gay bashed, beaten with beer bottles, and left for dead. You know, another kid named Lawrence King, who was up here in Oxnard, California, back in February, who asked another boy. He was 15. He asked another boy to be his Valentine. And the boy went home, got a gun, came back to school, and shot Lawrence.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember that very
well. Talk about, you know.
But that wasn't a hate crime.
Oh, of course not. It wasn't a hate crime for me either. With my situation, I wasn't even told that the people that they caught that did this were in court or sentenced. I didn't even get a chance to go to court with this. So mine wasn't a hate crime either, even though they called me faggot and queer as they were hitting me in the face with the beer bottles.
But, you know, then I'm proud to be an American where at least we can stomp them gays. Right, I know.
Well, you know, that's acceptable, though, in America, and that's unfortunate. And it really, what's unfortunate for me is hearing the Democrat candidates pander to these knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing assholes. The ones that
I'm as revolted by it as you are, Philip, but in all honesty... At some point, don't we have to engage in the calculus? Because I had to. It's a different issue, but it's another one I'm passionate about. I had to come to some sort of rationalization between John McCain and Barack Obama about the mountaintop removal and clean coal. At some point in time, honest to God, let me just ask you a very direct question. If John McCain came out in this debate tonight and said, friends, I'm for marriage for all Americans, gay or straight, and I believe full faith and credit should be extended constitutionally to every marriage, would that change your vote, Philip?
Oh, for that old lumpy bastard? No, I'd rather saw off my leg. Because I probably wouldn't believe him because, 90-95% of what's come out of his mouth and his campaign's mouth has been lies. As a gay person, what I would like, Bob, is to hear candidates that I'm supporting, Democrats, come out and just spell this out clearly. Get away from the double talk. Get away from the speech making in these debates and just come out and clearly say what the facts are. We're talking about the state giving a license for marriage to people.
And religion plays no role in it whatsoever. But again, the inquiry I was working toward, Philip, is not so much, and I would guess that there's a significant portion of the gay community that would respond like you, that even if John McCain came out and said, you know, marriage now, marriage for everyone, that there would be enough skepticism to keep them from pulling the lever, or maybe enough interest in other issues. On the other hand, it's not so much how, because As Peter Godbold noted so many times, the gay community is the single most effective fundraising tool that right-wing fundamentalism has. You know, flog the gay folk and another umpty bajillion dollars will come rolling in. So the question is, are you willing to let the gay, and I don't mean you, are we willing to let the gay community be used as a fundraising springboard for the right wing by insisting that our candidate come out and speak truth, really speak truth about the marriage issue? And I don't say that, that's not a rhetorical question, and frankly, that's a hell of a hard question for me, because frankly, I know the history of marriage. I know it's a property transfer, or was in the past, that when the right wing, the fundamentalist freaks, with their little Neanderthal cults, when they start talking about protect the traditional definition of marriage, I know that the minute that comes out of their mouth, I know that they don't know from Shinola about what the traditions of marriage are. So, where's the cutoff point, Philip? Where's the line for our candidates and our insistence on their forthrightness on these issues? And I don't ask this knowing, having an opinion or knowing an answer in the first place. But where's that cutoff? What do we demand of them if we know that by being even remotely straightforward about things, that they're going to not so much, that they will energize the opposition far more than they will energize their supporters? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think right now, this close to the election, there are certain things candidates have to say that are political for their political well-being, and maybe Biden was saying that, maybe Obama was saying that, just for their political well-being now. But after the election is when people need to step up. And I'm not talking about Democrats, Republicans, or any political party, but people within the gay community, too. One of the biggest problems is the closet. Yeah, if more people would come out of the closet and stop hiding and being shameful, we'd have more of a voice. But right now, the people that have the voice in America is the Christian right in so many respects. And I guess one of the alarm bells, I guess, with Obama for me and with Biden, when I hear him say things like that, it makes me wonder if we're going to have another Democrat administration that'll kind of be a Democrat, but will still pander to these people as well.
I don't think they're pandering so much as they're acting out of fear. Because you see, as long as things are structured the way that they are, Philip, the right-wing religion industry gets around the block before the rest of us get our shoes on, because they can raise almost unlimited amounts of money, tap dance on the IRS prescriptions. I mean, look what they did on September 28th. They came out and slapped, a few of them did, enough to get some notice. They came out and slapped the IRS right in the face and said, we're endorsing candidates, and what the hell are you going to do about it? Because they're trying to force a confrontation in the Supreme Court that they know is loaded in their favor. So, because if a 501c3, marriage equity organization came out and endorsed candidates, the IRS would be on them like a duck on a June bug. The First Amendment to the Constitution, the way that it is interpreted, Philip, by my estimation, forces the rest of us to run with our feet in, with both feet in buckets, trying to chase the runaway juggernaut that is the right wing religion industry. And I use that word industry not lightly. These people are a money-making machine, from the American Family Association to the Focus on the Family, to Pat Robertson, to all these, the prosperity gospel creeps. I read an article recently that said the prosperity gospel people probably drove a significant number of fundamentalists into mortgages that they couldn't handle, because they kept telling them, well, if you trust Jesus, they won't check your credit score. They were part and parcel of this fraud.
Well, the whole thing's a fraud. Look at how they bend people's minds. What really pisses me off about this Christian right these dumb bastards that stand there with Sarah Palin and with John McCain just oohing and eyeing at the New York Times, or, ooh, he's a terrorist, or, ooh, ooh, they might keep the queers from marrying, all that nonsense, okay? You never hear these family values bastards talking about, well, let's talk about abuse in families, kids that are mentally or physically abused. And yet just this past week, another story about another child being murdered and raped in a good heterosexual family. How about divorce? How about the effect on the economy in a two-parent home where both parents have to work one, two, three jobs to make ends meet to afford to have their family so they don't have parenting home for kids after school? Where's the religious right talking about that? You know.
Well, they're not talking about that any more than they're Philip. They're not talking about that any more than they're talking about fetuses once they're born. You know what I mean? Hey, Philip, we're having some sort of awful transmission problems from you. So, if you want to try back in a few, that's cool. But I don't know what it was, but it's just awful.
I'm not transmitting.
Well, you are, but we're getting a lot of garble, and give her a try back, okay?
All right, I'll call during the debate.
Okay, thanks, Philip.
Guys, gonna run the debate?
Yeah, we're gonna run it.
Yippee!
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Bob, it's Judy.
Judy, how are you, dear?
Oh, I'm pretty steamed right now. That's why I called into your show.
Well, goody. This is a good place to get it out of your system.
Yeah. Did you see the Charleston Gazette today?
I saw parts of it. Which one are you talking about?
Oh, the part where it says that the coal industry gets $2.8 billion from the bailout bill.
Yeah, in fact, I had a little bit of a leg up on it because I get Nick Rahal's press releases, Judy.
Uh-huh.
And he was crowing about that, I think, as far back as Friday.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I was steamed. I called Rockefeller's office today, and I've written him several letters and emails telling him, look, if you want to push this coal to liquid scam, this snake oil you're trying to sell everybody else, use your own money to invest in it. Don't use my tax dollars in it. And that's what I repeated today. And finally, his little minion there.
I knew we were going to say minion.
Uh-huh. Hung up there because that's what they are, you know. And how dare Jay Rockefeller to say it was important for the Senate to be doing something for the families in West Virginia. Yeah, by poisonous. Poisonous.
Yeah, which families?
Yeah, poisonous some more, buddy. Go ahead, do some poisonous some more. Yeah, blast us some more there. You know, I just, you know, it's the coal barons and the rich fat cats is all they're worried about. They give a little bit to wind and solar, but coal got the most of it.
Well, and some of this boondoggle, if I understood Rahal's press release correctly, Judy, some of it is for coal gasification and coal sequestration. And I couldn't help noticing the number crunching that came down from Coal River Mountain Watch the other day to the effect that you would have to hollow out the entire state of West Virginia to take care of 1 year of our carbon emissions.
Absolutely. They know that. They know it's a scam. They know it's mythology. But, you see, once you get the taxpayers, the suckers, to put that money in there, and then you build that plant and they'll have it carbon sequestration ready, then you're locked in, and then you run out of coal, and then, oh, my, what are we going to do then? You know, if we have enough, you know, clean air or clean water left, if we're not all dead by then, it just makes me so, so, oh, so mad.
$2.8
billion. $2.8
billion.
You know, and this is what kills me, and I'm saving this from the paper, too, because, you know, I hope to live long enough to show this to my great-grandchildren, so that they can see who was responsible for all this.
And know that there were people fighting against it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the quintessential stand up and be counted issue for anybody in Appalachia. And, you know, what we try to make so abundantly clear is that it extends well beyond Appalachia and frankly, well beyond the territorial borders of the United States.
Yes.
Joe Biden got it half right in that little rope line conversation when he was talking about the way the Chinese burn it. But you know what? I've got a sneaking suspicion, Judy, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I'll bet you that in time, I'm not sure how much, the Chinese will start working harder on their carbon problem than we work on ours.
They're already working on it. They're already making cars that get more gas, get more miles per gallon. They're already, you know, investing more in wind and solar than we are. They recognize that fact. They're not dummies over there. You know, they may be burning it dirty now, but they know what's up, and they know we're going to run out of coal. And the problem is, and China and India and every other nation have said, you know, we're looking at America to lead us. And if America leads us, then we'll go the way they go. They're looking at us as the big brother, and boy, oh boy.
Well, wasn't there a line in the debate last week where that moron from Wasilla said something about the rest of the world has to get with the program with us in terms of global warming? Didn't she say, was I just crazy, or did I hear her say something like
she
that?
She said a lot of crazy things, you know, and I equate her, I was talking to my grandson about her, and I equate her to the next Britney Spears, because that's who she reminds me of, is Britney Spears. You know what I mean?
Once she gets sent home to Alaska, her re-election music will be Oops, I Ran For It Again or something. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's just the way she acts. It's you know, for attention. And basically, I think, you know, it's just a shame that Joe McCain, yeah, he's a Joe, all right. You know, I was just thinking of her statement, old Joe, say it ain't so. That's what I'm talking about, Britney Spears, like the celebrity out there trying to get all the attention and be their attack dog, and I just can't stand to even hear her talk.
Well, this, you know, this new video that's out and with her inciting the crowd in Clearwater, Florida to scream, kill him, kill him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're talking about Obama palling around with
right.
terrorists,
yeah,
her
right.
line there. Yeah. You know, and those nasty emails that's been circulating about him being a Muslim, and they're just preying on that and on terrorism, when, in fact, she's the terrorist. She wants to drill, baby, drill. And, you know, I thought a lot about that phrase, and we all know it's wrong, but essentially, what that phrase means is a slap in the face to our kids. You know what that means is drill, baby, drill. Yeah, let's take it all now. Let's make the biggest mess we can make. Let's suck the earth dry of every little last drop of coal and oil and not leave anything for our kids but a mess to clean up. And that's exactly what that phrase means.
And thanks to coal, Judy, that generation and the generation after them may very well not have the brains to be able to deal with it.
Yeah.
Mercury is mercury, and it has a very specific effect.
Yeah. And they know that, and they don't want to talk about that. I would like to ask them that. And you, basically, you know, I'm telling our kids, when Nick and I went to Detroit, you know, that's the first thing I tell high school and college students is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being part of a generation that's using up all your energy and poisoning you in the process of it. And they look at me, and then all of a sudden, after I talked to them for a little bit about it, you can see the wheels turning in their mind. And they know. And our kids know what's going to happen, Bob. And they know who's to blame for it. And I tell them, I've spent the last 11 years of my life trying to make up for it, trying to make a difference. You know, go home and talk to your parents and tell your parents and organize your parents and your grandparents and tell them to get you to help clean this mess up, because after all, they made it.
Well, exactly, and that's something that you've come to terms with, and many people have as well. But it's a job that still needs a lot of doing, and that's part and parcel of why you go to all around the country talking to people. Is a matter of getting it outside Appalachia and helping people to understand that they have a very real connection. It's like the zip code tool there at ILoveMountains.org.
Oh yes, and they're using a lot of the coal in Michigan and Detroit area there, but they also have Marathon oil refineries there. And I met some wonderful, wonderful African American ladies there that are being poisoned the same way we are. They just aren't getting blasted; they're getting flared. And I should have realized that the process to refine oil was not benign, you know, because they'll do whatever they can do, you know, regardless of whoever's downstream of them. And it was just pitiful. And the parallels between the way they treat the poor that live around coal-fired power plants and oil refineries is the same way they treat us here in Appalachia.
Well, exactly. They never put the refinery next to Jay Rockefeller's ski chalet, do they?
Oh, no. Oh, no. We'd hear him yelling about that if they did. I can't believe Ray Hall. He just blows my mind, too. These guys, every time I write them a letter, I tell them, look, you know, this stuff is being well documented. Everything you do and say is being documented. And when push comes to shove, the way this is being documented, this is going to be your legacy. You will end up on the wall of shame. Never doubt that for a minute. I don't care how many buildings you got named after you, how many highways you got named after you, you are going to be on the wall of shame.
Right, and I found another tool the other day, Judy. I was over, I was contacted by some great folks out Chicago way, an organization, they're working on a film by the name of Topless America. Maybe you've heard of them.
Oh, yes, I've talked to those great people. Yeah, those kids are awesome.
And they've got a tool on their website where you type in your zip code again, only this time it shows you exactly how much money your elected representatives have been accepting from the coal industry.
Yeah, and that's kind of hidden, though. You got to watch some of that. This is what I found out about Ray Hall. His is not much, so much coal, but he accepts contributions from CSX.
Right, which makes all of its money hauling the coal.
Hauling the coal and the UMWA. Yeah, and so he accepts a lot of money from that. It's hidden. And I don't know if y'all read the Sunday funnies, but Mother Goose and Grimm, even they get it. The little cat came up to the big fat cat oil man and said, hey, can you help us solve this energy crisis, Mr. Oil? And he said, well, sure I can. You want coal? We own that. You want uranium? We own that. You want natural gas? We own that. You want wind and sun? Can't help you there, but boy, it's not feasible.
Hey, Judy, could I ask you a favor real quick?
Yeah.
I haven't brought this issue up, and this is a perfect time to do it, because I felt like I was going to run the risk of having my audience not believe me. These are, as you know, very, very sharp people all over the world, and I didn't want them thinking that old Bob was just funning with them. But would you take a couple of minutes and explain to folks listening on the horn just exactly how it is that the governor and the state government of West Virginia now accept payment in rocks? Would you do that, please?
Yes. Well, basically, we got in touch with the EPA many years ago and asked them to do an investigation in which they found out that the DEP, the West Virginia DEP, has been allowing the self-governing coal industry to report the fact that they're above their discharges, and the DEP has just literally ignored it. The EPA caught it, and the EP got caught up in a lot of, oh, it was just a glitch, though. You know, they just oversight, just a glitch in their computer program. And so in payment for some of those fines, you know, the DEP told them they could pay them in rocks. Now, let me let people understand this. I know people need, sometimes you need rocks for things, and you know, construction may need rocks. But this is the coal industry's waste. This is what they want to get rid of. This is why we have these lawsuits in about valley fields, because this is what that used to be the top of the mountain. This is what they used to blast. So this is what the coal industry wants to get rid of. So the DEP is accepting their waste as payment. And basically that's what's going on.
They're getting paid. The fines are being paid in rocks.
Waste. In waste. In what the coal industry doesn't want.
I haven't seen anything like this since the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah, basically. Well, West Virginia is, like I tell a lot of my audiences, you know, when you live in West Virginia, in eastern Kentucky, southwestern Virginia, southern Ohio, there around Meigs County, you're no longer in the United States of America. You live in King Cole's country, and he's got his foot on our throat, and he's grinding it hard. And that's the way it is here. Cole has corrupted everything, from all the way from the dog catcher all the way up to the governor. Very few will resist him.
And certainly including our school systems.
including the school system. These are a bunch of cowards. They're greedy cowards. And like I said, I just can't blame the coal industry anymore. You know, I have to blame people like Ray Hall, Rockefeller, even Byrd, and, you know, the Board of Education, like I said, all the way from the dog catcher all the way up to the governor, who is a coal broker.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's not like, right, everybody's got a hand in it and a certain amount of responsibility for it. There's a school sitting there on the eastern edge of Raleigh County, Marsh Fork Elementary, and for all the school consolidating this state does and for all the moving around and new schools that they build, for some reason or another, they can't seem to find a way to move that school away from a coal preparation plant.
Well, someone told me, said, you know, watch out. There's that mountaintop removal site behind the school. They may offer to put one up there on that site. And I'm going to tell you, Bob, I've been to some what they call reclaim sites. I went to the Wendell H. Ford Airport there in Kentucky. And let me explain this to people. You know, the mountains as they set now, you know, have a canopy around them and trees between buildings. On a mountaintop removal site, and especially if you look at the Twisted Gun Golf Course, there is no canopy up there. The sun literally bakes your brains out. There's no escape from it. We had a tent up there. Well, along came a storm with the wind, and lo and behold, since there was nothing but rock and gravel on top of that mountaintop removal site, the pegs that the tent they had drove into the ground for the tent. The wind come along, blew it off, tent went everywhere. There was sticks and stones and everything blowing out. It was a mess. It was awful. I wouldn't put my worst enemy on top of a mountaintop removal site to live.
And yet this state is more than happy to try to force high school students, on top of exactly such sites. I mean, that's what's underway in Mingo County. They've done it also in McDowell, have they not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, Mingo and McDowell, and you know, it's just a mess. And that school site in Mingo County is close to that Twisted Gun Golf Course.
Well, and the airport you mentioned, that thing's got more bumps in it than a West Virginia country road, doesn't it?
And the only people that uses it is the coal industry. And the one they have in West Virginia, see, they made one in Logan County that no one talks about. And the reason is because no one uses it. There's a trailer setting up there. A trailer setting up there. And as a matter of fact, there's a trailer sitting on Twisted Gun Golf Course, too. And that way the taxpayers get to pave the roads up there. It's just an awful mess. And this country, Bob, I am so worried, you know, about our future and about our kids' future. And it's scary out there.
Well, do you take any hope away, Judy, from the fact that, I mean, that little dust-up that happened a couple of weeks ago where both candidates apparently said that they oppose mountaintop removal?
Well, I don't have much hope from McCain, because even if he would stop mountaintop removal, I believe that he's not getting my grandson to send to war. Let me put it that way. You know, and he there's a lot of evil, bad things I see with his running mate and some of the ways he's changed. I used to believe in him somewhat until this past year, when he thought that winning this presidency was more important than his ideals and what he had talked about, what he had hoped for our country. So he's not putting country first. He's putting winning first by choosing Palin. So, but Obama, I do find some hope there. I think that, you know, maybe, you know, we can get some this country straightened out, and maybe we can get, you know, some him to understand a few things about, you know, about coal and about energy. And I think he's reachable. I really do. I think his administration is reachable, although I'm very angry right now with the Democrats. I'm very angry with them because of their lack of spine, their lack of backbone to stand up to you know, these corporations, and no matter who wins, but particularly, you know, if Obama wins, I think we have to push forward. We have to start this, and this groundswell is happening, guys. I see it everywhere. You know, I got an email today, the first African-American to ever write a book about the environment. His book is coming out next month. It's Van Jones. It's called The Green Economy and Why We Need It. And you see,
well, and Van Jones is a whirlwind in his own right.
Oh, he is great. And listening to that man speak is puts cold. I've got cold chills on me now just thinking about that man. He's awesome.
Well, he's going to be part and parcel of the Green Jobs Conference in February in Washington D.C., isn't he?
Yes, I think he is.
It's him and the Sierra Club and the Steelworkers, among others.
Among others, and you know he's just done a great job. He's got the Color of Change website and the Greening the Ghettos that he's pushing, and he's absolutely right on spot. He is awesome, and you know, after reading his website, Nick and I talked, and we finally came up with the thought that green is the color of change. It's the only thing that's going to save this nation, Bob. Well, it's the only thing that we can use to save the nation. The only thing that's going to save the earth and the world and America is Americans. They need to get up off their butts and get out into the streets and start a groundswell again. Because
we can provide momentum for so much of the rest of the world. What we've done by staying out of Kyoto, among other things, Judy, disagree with me if you wish. We have kept that process from reaching the full its full flower, if you will. I just got an email from a listener here, listening out on the West Coast. A headline from the Times Online from the UK, and the headline says, "Coal-fired power generators face new threat from EU carbon emissions curb." The rest of the world can do all of this, but until the United States gets serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go one step forward and we'll drag them two steps back.
Absolutely. When we were at the UN, we heard, change from EU and the UK as well, too. And from all of, even Bali, Bali stood up this year and told us, lead or get out of the way. And I agree. Lead or get the hell out of the way. One or the other. And the world understands, and they're waiting for us. Well, they're not waiting, obviously. They're pushing ahead. But it would help tremendously if the United States would actually, take responsibility for what they've done and bring forth a new day for the rest of the world. Lead the way. Be real leaders. Lead the way. I don't blame, the other countries for saying, well, you Americans, you put all that up there in the air and you're just 5% of the population and you know what? You guys need change.
5% of the population consuming 25% of the world's resources.
And putting 25% of the greenhouse gases up there. Absolutely. And we as Americans have to understand that and quit playing with our iPods and our NASCARs and live up to our potential and quit being lazy, gluttonous, stupid giants on this earth.
I keep remembering a phrase that was mentioned on this program some time back, that a slogan that made such an impression on me: live simply that others may simply live.
Yes.
And some of us get that, and some of us are trying to do it. You and others associated with Coal River Mountain Watch are leading, you're walking the walk and talking the talk. And providing much needed leadership. That you're absolutely right. The people who are supposed to be providing the leadership, you're providing the leadership that they are not. This leadership should be coming from Washington, D.C. It should be coming from our elected representatives, but it isn't. So many of them are concerned on energy related issues, they have failed us. They're not failing. They've already failed.
Well, it just makes me angry that the Democrats are letting that. pig, lipstick on a pig, woman talk about energy like she is the expert on it. She's not an expert on energy. The only thing she's an expert on is how to destroy things. That's what she's an expert on.
She's a ravager, whether it's killing wolves or slaughtering moose or destroying the environment. How anyone can take her seriously, Judy, I frankly don't know.
Oh, I'm just scared to death that there's a group of people out there somewhere, after watching Keith Olbermann, there's a group of people out there somewhere that will elect her. So, after 8 years of America finally electing an idiot, I'm afraid America's finally going to elect that, I just can't, my a word for her hasn't come through. There's several descriptions of her that I could choose, but the word, I guess it'll come to me. But you know, it would be a shame for some for Americans to elect McCain with her as a running mate.
Well, you know, we there are organizations here in this state and elsewhere. In this state, among other places, among other groups, there's Christians for the Mountains.
Yes.
Why can't the fundamentalist group, the fundamentalist people, why is it that they can't understand that if this is in fact the creation that they say it is, that they don't have a right to destroy the handiwork of the Almighty? What's the problem? Where's the disconnect there, Judy?
Well, I think it's because they've been brainwashed by years and years of people like Dobson and Hagee and people like that that, you know, basically teach one or two things that the Republicans want them to teach. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, I think the Republicans understand this year, too. There was a split about 2 years ago with the Southern Baptists, and half of them, you know, wanted to stick with that rape the earth, you know, prosperity, you know, the gay thing and the abortion thing. And some of the other ones, though, you know, went into care of the creation. And there's a group coming to visit Cold River Mountain Watch called Restoring Eden. And basically, you know, they have dropped into factions. So the evangelicals don't have the power they once had or the numbers they once had. Even though they have some, they don't have what they once had.
Well, you know, they take that phrase, you know, and I give you dominion over the earth and all its blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I'm waiting for, and it is happening, you're absolutely right, I'm waiting for people to stand up within that community and say, listen, dominion does not equate with destruction.
No, God gave us dominion over our children, too. I don't think he wants us to beat them up and cut off their limbs, you know what I mean? I don't think that's
exactly
what God meant by dominion, you know? And it's just basically, you know, the fact that they don't want to use common sense to think this through, because it's all through the Bible. All you have to do is read it and not jump to the once or twice part in the Bible where God talks about a relationship with a man and a man, you know, or any other thing that they want to dwell on. That's the problem. They just don't want to see that at all. But I'll tell you, when we was in Detroit, I don't know if Nick told you or not, I saw the most amazing bumper sticker. I almost opened the car door up and fell out of it. It was a McCain-Pelin sign, and it said Guns, Babies, Jesus on it. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what we said. We went, oh, I can't believe that.
I mean, even if you're okay with all those issues, it's out of order, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Jesus, Babies, Guns? I mean...
Yeah. Guns, Babies, Jesus. I almost fell out. Holy mackerel.
I rode
around in a hybrid car, a lady there in Detroit. You know, we parked our rental, and she drove us around, quiet, no emissions. Every time you hit the brakes on that thing, it charges up the battery, and you get more
sure.
fuel.
Sure, regenerative technology.
Yeah, it's great. It was great. I want one of those. I want a solar power, and I read today where they're making a film of solar that, you know, can recharge. It's thin enough you can put over your windows.
Well, there was a man who built his own solar car, and this past summer, Judy, he traveled literally from the east coast of the United States to the west coast.
Oh, it's there. It's available.
But it's a matter of willpower. And one of the things that we're up against, if you don't mind me saying so, is there's a philosophical and an energy within the green movement toward clean, real clean, sustainable, renewable energy and renewable, sustainable jobs that is in line with the best of American can-do attitudes.
Yes.
And the problem is that we've had 8 years now of the hardest core of the hardest right wing telling us that all we know how to do is build bigger bombs to kill more babies.
Oh yeah, you know I finally figured out, Bob. They think it's about who dies with the most money and the most things. That's what they think, and that's what's going on. That's exactly what's going on.
You know, for a long time I said somebody needs to tell Don Blankenship that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses, but that, you know, it's not just him.
No.
You need to tell that to the Republican Party. You need to tell that to the Bushes. You need to tell that to Palin. You need to tell that to McCain. You know, I would think that McCain's old enough that maybe he's beginning to hear at some point in time he's heard the fluttering of the angel wings, and it still hasn't had that transformative moment for him.
No, it hasn't. But that's what you think about Rockefeller and Byrd and Strom Thurmond and Newt Gingrich too. But that's not happened either. It's not happened either. Bob, do you remember back in the 70s when some GM cars were having all those callbacks and ball joints and all kinds of bad things happen?
Sure, sure.
Well, I finally figured out why. Well, I got told why. One of those really great, amazing ladies there that's fighting those coal-fired power plants in Marathon Refinery there in Detroit, one of the ladies there worked on the one of the assembly lines, and she was telling us these horror stories about, you know, that's when they started to get, parts imported from foreign countries, and they were getting defective parts, and she would reject them. That was her job, to reject them. And she said she tossed them, probably a couple of railroad cars, you know, full of
holy mackerel.
Yeah. You know what's coming.
Yep.
All right. So when she got off work, when she heard she had finished, they went out and got the rejects and passed them through. Then, to beat it all, she said, the next thing I knew, she said, you know, that's when you had people showing up. You know, she said they demoted her because she, you know, wouldn't pass these. She said, next thing she knew, that's when they had, you know, the controversy of all the drunks, people drinking on the job and passing stuff and being, you know, the bosses drinking and getting drunk. She said it was commonplace. You know, she said she was demoted so many times, moved around so many times, and she said that's back. She said, if you remember, that's back when people would hear the rattling of something in their car doors, and she worked on one of the longest on the Corvette line, the 70s Corvette.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and she said that people would hear rattling in their car doors. Well, they would open up, you know, take the screws off their doors and open up and get inside their car door, and there was crushed up beer cans in there.
Yeah.
Boy, does that tell you something.
Oh, I know. I knew someone who opened up a rattly door one time and found a little piece of wood in there that it had written on it, "Ha-ha, you found me."
You're kidding.
No, and then, well, and then there, I grew up in a family that bought Chrysler products, Judy.
Oh.
And we were preparing to drive to West Virginia one August evening in 1971. And my father went out and traded in our 66 Chrysler Newport Town Sedan for a 71 Chrysler Newport. And, you know, they do the prep on it. And we had to stand there and wait at the dealership, and we were all excited. You know, going to get a new car.
Yeah.
So we drove it home, packed it, and took off out of the driveway, got up into Tennessee about 40 miles from home, when a fellow flagged us down from behind and said, "Mister, your car's spitting so many sparks, you're going to blow up in a minute." And we got it to the local Chrysler dealer, and lo and behold, the gas tank had been wired on with a coat hanger.
Well, and I didn't realize that was going on, Bob.
Maybe it's not just that. Maybe what we're pointing to here is it's not just the last 8 years, but there was a can-do attitude in this country that can be rejuvenated, Judy. And I am convinced to the core of my very soul that the rejuvenation of that can-do attitude is born in wind. It's born in solar. It's born in the factories that generate the polymers and the films and the microcells and all of that for solar panels. And not just, you know, not just for huge farm arrays, but for stuff that can be done, solar and wind that can be had at home. And all the things that happen, for instance, in high school shop classes and technical schools and vocational schools to teach people to be able to go and maintain from home to home to home. Independent electrical operations.
Power in my backyard.
Yeah, this can be done, and it's things like the Coal River Wind Project that are pointing the way toward that future, and it's a bright future. It's literally a future that can save this country.
It's the only thing that can save us, our economy, and it can save us right now, Bob. I'm convinced of that. It's the only thing out there that can save us from ourselves, and. God help us, you know, we need to start by electing the right person. Then we need to follow up by pushing
that person to do the right thing, because this is what I've learned is that they have to have someone behind them, a groundswell of people behind them, saying, "Oh, well, look, I need to do this because this is what the people want." And you know, I heard many people say that no matter, even if Obama gets elected, that means we push harder. That means we continue our groundswell. We continue the letters to the editor. We continue to push for a green economy in this country, even harder.
Well, among other things, we have to provide people. We have to provide politicians cover to do the right thing.
Yeah, and you know, I'm gonna tell you, what's happened in West Virginia and America. You know, and West Virginia is still lagging behind. I've finally come to realize is we allowed the far right wing nuts to take over our media, to take over our radio shows, to take over to own our TV stations, to own our newspapers. We've allowed that to happen without doing anything about it, and that's our problem right now. And you know, thank God for shows like yours, Bob, and for Air America. You know, but the problem is, you know, you go to the mainstream everyday thing and you hear Rush Limbaugh, you hear, you know, Steve O'Brien, you hear, you know, he's a local.
Yeah.
And you hear that, what do they call it, Man Cow or something.
Yeah, right. Well, him or Hannity or O'Reilly, the whole dirty crew.
Or the Savage Nation or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and this, what scares me is my grandson heard that Man Cow thing and said, he says he's middle of the road. I said, Andrew, when you heard him say that Obama was a Muslim, did you think he was middle of the road? No. I said, all right. He lied to you then, didn't he? You see?
And if he'll lie to you once, he'll lie to you twice, and there'll be no end to it.
So that's the problem is, you know, our kids are driving and they hear this stuff for the first time. And you know, the media here is the key, and we need, Ralph Nader told me this, we have to scream for corporate reform and media reform because that's our two biggest problems. Right there, that's our two biggest problems. And start that groundswell. And people, I'm here to tell you, that groundswell's out there because the connection we made with those poor people of color in Detroit that's sucking down all the poison there, for oil and for power, you know, is those people are pretty mad. They're not going to take it anymore. And there are people all over America and indeed all over the world that are screaming for change. And our politicians have better listen to us because that's what we're screaming. We're screaming for change, and there's more of us every day screaming. And if you guys are out there listening, get up and scream louder because that's what it's going to take. Make more screamers. That's what.
Well, exactly. And we've got a running motto here that was provided by one of our listeners, the line, Judy, is "Make it personal."
Oh, yeah.
Make it personal because this it can't get any more so. This is an attack. I mean, it may seem like, you know, wow, 3 million pounds of high explosives per day in West Virginia. But those are, you know, every time one of those blasts goes off, it's aimed at a child.
Yeah.
It's aimed at a grandchild. It's aimed at their future. It's aimed at their ability to breathe, their ability to learn, their very ability to live. And the same thing happens in Detroit. And the same thing happens everywhere you and the other members of the organization go. You're connecting with people who are tired of it and who are willing to mobilize and who are willing to energize. And all we've got to do is give them the philosophical and spiritual the impetus to be behind them, and we can change it. You're absolutely right about changing the media, and you know as well as I do that's why this is happening. That's why this is going on. You know, we'll be 3 years old a week from Friday, and we're still here, God willing. God be praised.
Or whatever. We hope to make more. Let's make more. Make more activists. I heard one of the ladies there in Detroit, Rhonda, say, you know, they're poisoning our water. They're poisoning our air. You know, our babies are getting sicker, and our children have behavioral problems. And you think you blame the behavioral problems on the fact of our culture, and it's the fact that you're poisoning our kids. And I said, amen, sister. You know, that's what they're doing. You know, that's what mercury is, ADD, you know, HADD, autism, behavioral problems, low IQ, and violence. And, you know, they're trying to point fingers at you know, inner city youth, you know, at Hispanics and blacks and, oh, of course, us Appalachians. You know how ignorant and violent we are, Bob. You know, and the fact of the matter is what they're doing is poisoning us. They're turning us, you know, our children into kids with bad behavior and a disconnect from what they need most, which is clean air and clean water. And then they say, what's wrong with our kids?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because, you know, clean water, well, that comes out of a jug. We buy it at the store. But you know, this is a culture, especially here in the Appalachians, where clean water was what came out of the ground. It came out of the side of the mountains. It came gushing. It literally, like something out of the Bible, where you know Moses struck the rock or whatever. And you could take people places. I could do the same thing, where you can literally see mountain streams that just blast out of the side of a hill.
Yeah.
And that's you know that's precious, and that's what's being taken away.
And it's gone. It's gone. I maybe can show you one now, in Sand Creek, but. The holler I lived in, there were three such springs that came out of the side of the mountain. That was the coldest, sweetest tasting water I've ever tasted.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. It's all gone, guys. You know, it's being replaced with sludge, coal waste, and chemicals that goes in it, you know, that they're pumping in. And now they want to pump CO2, which is, you know, that is such a con game. You know, if people believe that, we got a bridge in Alaska we want to sell them, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, if we pump the CO2 into the ground, that just means that the you know the water comes out of the ground naturally carbonated.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wonder who's going to live to tell the tale of it.
Only the people not drinking it, Judy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if that CO2 comes out in the gas form, we're all dead. You forget it, we're all dead. You know, and it's really scary. I read an article the other day that said Pennsylvania. Because of global warming, that Pennsylvania will end up a very dry, hot place. It will look nothing like it is now. And, you know, and so goes the same, you know, the rest of America. It's just a...
Well, if you kill the Appalachians, you've literally, to the extent that, well, you know, they talk about the Amazon being the lungs of the world. So too the Appalachians.
Yeah.
The largest, most biodiverse, temperate rainforest on Earth.
Yeah, it's the mixed mesophytic forest. It was the literal seed stock for North America. That's where the diversity came from. It was never glaciated in these nooks and crannies up in these hollers, you know, way up in the heads of these hollers there. You know, that's where you know, the stock for the rest of America came from, and it was never glaciated. And, you know, the Lucy Braun Association said it would be a hedge against global warming. It could, you know, refurbish the rest of the world, the rest of North America, if, you know, if left intact. What are we doing? Well, we're filling them in. Yeah.
Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
We're pretty crazy for that. But I'm telling you, Bob, I see hope out there. I see people, groundswell starting, people starting to connect the dots all over the place now. And, you know, with the use of the Internet and you know, traveling here and there and talking on your show, and like I tell students, make more activists. Come on. Make it cool. Make it sexy. That's what it's going to take, you know, for people to save themselves, for our children, you know, to realize what's going on, to save themselves from us, basically. So I see it happening out there. I really do. I really do. And you know, we just need more. We just need more people.
Well, I know how hard you work and how much you travel, and I know how wearying it is. But I tell you what, with every trip, with every meeting, with every organization you come in contact with, you make a few more of those activists. And that's at this point in time, I don't think there's anything more closely resembling God's work on the planet right now, Judy.
Well, I'm telling you, these college students are just picking up the ball and running with it. They really are. They really recognize, you know, their future literally depends upon whether or not we can stop these coal-fired power plants and CO2 and, you know, the push for hybrid cars and renewable energy and the green jobs. You know, a lot of kids see that. We as adults need to stand up with our kids and say, you know, let's push. Let's get this done. There are no jobs on a dead planet. let's work toward a future for our kids and realize that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I sure am glad that you called in this evening, Judy. I don't get to talk to you near often enough, and it's always a joy because nobody cuts it clearer or cuts it cleaner for you know what we're facing and what is going on. You're absolutely right. There's hope out there. And there's hope out there because of the groups that are, you know, hope isn't something that just grows out of the ground. It has to be cultivated and it has to be nurtured within human souls and human hearts. And that's, you know, that's the farm work that's going on.
We're sowing those seeds to change.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and nurturing the plants as they grow.
And we're making friends as we do it because, you know, we as human beings have to learn to respect each other and respect this earth that the Creator made for us. We just have to. We have to learn to live with nature rather than destroy nature. And that's our problem. That's our problem in a nutshell right there. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, Judy, thank you very much. And, you know, there's always a forum here anytime.
All right, I just had to call and tell you that you know about that, and you know,
I'd like to give them the $2.8 billion worth of rocks. You know, I mean, because we've got all the, you know, we've been paid with them. Let's give it back.
We can do that. Let's give them the rocks back.
I'm all for it. Judy, take care, dear.
You too. Everybody, enjoy the debate tonight.
Thanks. Bye bye. Judy Bonds of Coal River Mountain Watch. If you should be so fortunate. So very fortunate to be anywhere within 100 miles of where Judy is going to be, treat yourself to the trip. You will be renewed, you will be excited, and you will be energized. Of all the people I've met on this planet, Judy is among the very most special. Email in, and I'm going right back to the phones because they're still blinking, and I hope there's still people there. Email in from Cindy. When I went to the meeting here to fight the Kalama coal plant, this is in Washington State, I told my neighbors, a bunch of salmon fishermen, that the CO2 would kill the fish. If they pumped it into the ground, it would surface under the river and kill the fish. They believed me. So far, that plant is going nowhere. And that is part and parcel of what it means when we say we're all downstream and we're all downwind. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Preston.
Preston, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just really enjoyed listening to Judy there.
She is a magic human being, and I love her dearly.
You two started talking about Van Jones, and I just recently saw his photo in a couple advertisements. I get a magazine called Sustainable Industries, published out of Portland, and they cover business developments and government partnerships in sustainable energy and design across the country. And one of the events that Van Jones is going to be speaking at is the second conference of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, which is an organization of over 500 college and university leaders who are committing their institutions to neutralizing their greenhouse gas emissions.
I saw an article a couple of 3 weeks ago about the greenest college campuses in the country. And I think Arizona State might have been on it. I can't even think right now. But it was really inspiring to see, Preston, because insofar as institutions of higher learning are supposed to be seedbeds of learning, they're fulfilling their mission even more broadly now by becoming seedbeds of creating the green, you know, the kind of green, the reliable, sustainable future that we can have. And education is one of the places that it absolutely must happen. And, you know, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is getting it down into the high school level and getting it in and getting it even into the primary and middle school level.
And Judy was talking about some of her outreach to young people. And if you talk to them, you can get their attention back from the Britney Spears diversions and all that stuff that they're inundated with and manipulated by. I just actually found a game for children from a company in England, Thames and Cosmos, where children build model eco-friendly homes. And with this new kit, kids age 12 and up can learn about all forms of alternative energy while conducting 70 experiments and building 20 models contained within this.
Oh, wow.
You know? It's a different...
It's like a virtual, sustainable, renewable Lego.
Exactly. So there is that outreach going towards youth. And, this college event, I think some of the other colleges that are really blazing some trails include, I think, Oberlin in Ohio, Evergreen State University in Olympia, Washington, and in North Carolina, there's a college called Warren Wilson that's doing some amazing things. But the conference itself is going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I found that interesting, too. It's not just going on in Berkeley and San Francisco. It's in the Bible Belt now.
And Raleigh, Durham, and, what's the other one?
Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill. That's the tremendous Carolina Research Triangle.
That's right.
So it only makes sense that it would happen there.
Yeah. What else? And this issue, the issue of coal mining, I think took another step forward yesterday. I don't know if you noticed, but Democracy Now! Had a debate regarding so-called clean coal.
No, I didn't realize that.
Okay, and the participants were Joe Lucas from the Vice President of Communications for American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, against Michael Brune, Executive Director of Rainforest Action Network, and the author of the new book, Coming Clean, Breaking America's Addiction to Oil and Coal. And
that must have been a dandy. Something like that, I believe, is on the agenda for the annual meeting of the Society of Environmental Journalists, where renewable, sustainable advocates are actually going to go head-to-head with, the flack for the West Virginia Coal Association.
Okay. Well, Joe from the industry was made real uncomfortable really quickly. Well,
they get that way because if they can't operate in the same terms that what we have going on here as what we've got going on here in West Virginia, Preston, for instance, big stupid billboards that say coal, yes, coal, green, carbon neutral coal. If they can't just lie and not be challenged on it, they really can't participate effectively in any sort of real world debate. And it sounds to me like that's part of what you were hearing.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes these people debate really well, and even though they aren't in the real world, that this one kind of struggled a bit. Brune made the important comment about how coal, on top of all the greenhouse gases, it's the largest source of mercury poisoning. This is another great point Judy was making about all this, you know, mental illness and physical illness of children. You know, they're being poisoned. And Brune said the American Lung Association estimates that 24,000 Americans die prematurely each year due to pollution from coal-fired power plants.
How do you take a number like that, 24,000? And, of course, the coal industry says, it can't possibly be that high. And the way you challenge them on that is, 12,000. It's the same way you challenge somebody who's in favor of the occupation of Iraq and the killing of civilians. Well, it can't possibly be a million civilians we've killed over there. Okay, is it a half a million? No, okay. Is 100,000 acceptable? Okay, how about 50,000? And the same kind of calculus and the same kind of inquiry applies, Preston, when these people want to say, we think it's only 12,000. Okay, it's only 12,000. Go find the family members and tell them that their loved one was part of your only.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, just as a thought experiment, if we reverse that, you know, on September 11th, we said, it was only 3,000.
Bingo.
You know what? Michael Medved is especially ugly in using that tactic of, hey, that's not true. It's always on the sanctions. Oh, that's not true. On the shock and awe slaughter. Oh, that's not true. But then it'll always hype up the reverse, you know, when it's other people's.
They
killing.
Killed 3,000. They killed 243 of our Marines. Right.
Yep. And, sometimes I wonder how these people can look themselves in the mirror.
Well, but when they use those kind of arguments, isn't there also, at the core of that, Preston, isn't there a seed of racism? Because the only way you can use the preposition only, and it is a preposition, I think, the only way you can use the word only in front of human disaster is if you have already negated those human beings' right to be on the planet.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because of those 24,000, I would imagine, since, you know, based on my what I was talking about with Judy, you know, they don't build these coal-fired power plants in Kennebunkport.
Right.
And so I would guess, and it's only a guess at this point, but I think the data would probably back me up, and it's probably been studied, that the majority of those numbers come from poorer communities. It's as if they've looked at that Bible verse that says, the poor you have always with you, and you say, oh, okay, we can kill some more.
Right. Yeah, the environmental racism is astonishing. You know, and we see it along the border with Mexico as well. You know, a lot of these companies like ASARCO hop a few miles across the border and were freed, the free market, to pollute however they want. And there are these Mexican babies being born without brains.
Yeah, or right back here in the territorial confines of the United States. You go down south, guess where the pig slaughter plants are? Hint, they're not in the McMansion communities or next to them.
Right. You know, there's something regarding the violence of our society or the elites that run a lot of it and that you were talking about. I don't know if it's a repeat or what, but you had these astonishing numbers regarding Operation Rolling Thunder, the tonnage, the years, the killing of 1,000 people a week, and how John McCain, I think, participated in some of those bombings.
Yes.
Okay, and he made this incredible comment about how we weren't able to use the full force of our Air Force, and then we could have won, you know. I mean, contrast that reality to this Ayers story. You know, who's the terrorist?
Well, contrast that with Sarah Palin's comment, Preston, that... Oh, well, I, you know, and it was part and parcel of the pal around with terrorist line. It was, you know, and I want the American people to know that we're not just bombing civilians in Afghanistan. We're bombing bad people, too.
Right. Well, you know, that new advertisement that's creating some stir, McCain, I think McCain running an ad or Palin saying something about how he doesn't see the country like we do. And then they use a quote of Obama saying, we've been air raiding Afghanistan and killing civilians and villages. Yeah. But, you know, these people deny it. They don't even approach it. They just say, can you believe he said that? Well, it's true. I mean, there are report after report, you know, Afghani civilians, unembedded journalists, government officials, the president, even though they appointed him, Karzai, he talks about...
God, did you see that article? Speaking of Karzai, his brother's a heroin lord.
Okay, yeah, figures. And what was Karzai the...
I mean, American forces busted on a couple of occasions literally a truckload of nice, fresh Afghani heroin.
Mm.
And as soon as the word got out, a phone call came from Karzai's office, and Karzai's brother came and picked up his property. That's happened a couple of times now.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a major form of currency for some of the right-wing Republicans who have destroyed some of our institutions.
Well, in light of what we've done to Afghanistan, it's probably the only form of viable currency there.
That's true as well. Same with, like, Colombia. I mean, why are they growing cocaine? Well, you know, we've decimated so many peasant populations and indigenous populations and their...
The indigenous populations for the last 3,000 to 5,000 years chewed that leaf and had it perform the same function for them that we use funky chemicals like albuterol to do for us. Mm-hmm. It enhances lung function, especially at high altitudes.
Yeah.
And if it, you know, we talked about Tony Bourdain a little bit. He's got a wonderful Peru episode.
Yeah, I finally caught that. It's great. And it's like chewing on that leaf. It's like drinking spinach juice. You know, all that green juice they're drinking all day. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And it's not, and the funny thing is, and this, and you could sense some discomfort in Tony Bourdain because he, you know, if you read Kitchen Confidential, you know that he is a recovering addict. And he was a little, you could sense a little of, you know, kind of, I'm nervous about my cleanness.
Mm-hmm.
But you take it and you wrap it around the little piece of, what is it, limestone? And you tuck it, you know, you tuck it between your cheek and gum and go climb a mountain.
Right. We shouldn't be just saying no. We should be saying, what is that?
Right. And for, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 years, whatever, those peoples used that.
Yeah.
America's cocaine problem, if the, to the extent that there is one, I'm sort of iffy about the so-called war on drugs. You know that.
Yeah, me too.
To the extent that there is one, America's cocaine problem is America's making. Insofar as... I mean, do you know what you have to, not that I've ever done it, okay? I mean, Agent Fred, really. You know what you have to do to a poor little coca leaf to get cocaine out of it?
Yeah, Dow Chemical knows.
Sure they do. And I mean, you've got to process it, I forget, with either gasoline or kerosene. You know, you've got to do hateful things to this otherwise respectable little plant.
Yep.
So instead, you know, we fly, you know, your money, mine, pays to fly aircraft and helicopters over fields that just happen to have some coca plants in them, but probably also have some native seed potatoes and things like that.
You bet.
And we kill everything.
That's
we
right.
kill everything. And then we look at the natives and go, well, why are you going into the cocaine business? Well, because you killed my potato patch, you jerk off. You know, like we're surprised.
Yep. It's more of that war against the earth and its people going on. I mean, these fumigation campaigns, hundreds of thousands of acres. But again, Monsanto, you know, after dumping Agent Orange and Dow, we're looking for a new place to dump product. And Colombia, you know, and Peru, these incredibly rich places of biodiversity where they want to move in with their monocultures and their genetically modified seeds and get some agribusiness going.
I was over at Alternet today, and I was reading an article on greenwashing. And I first heard that term, John Fox brought it to my attention. You know, taking an otherwise poisonous thing and putting a veneer of renewability or sustainability on it and saying, look, it's not poison anymore. And one of them was, I think it was Bayer Crop Sciences. And, you know, one of the ways that they greenwash is say, you know, we're genetically modifying plants so that they'll be able to grow in a post-global warming world.
Okay.
Well, I can't, you know, when I read that, you know, I have these little slap myself in the head moments, Preston. And I was reading that, and I went, well, I'll be damned. Because it was just a month or so ago that the Bayer Crop Sciences plant that still makes methyl isocyanate in Institute, West Virginia, blew up.
Oh, wow.
And it was the plant that... Okay. It wasn't the methyl isocyanate part of the plant. Of course, you know what that is. That's what killed Bhopal. But it's okay to make it and put the hillbillies at risk. No problem. And it was a different part of the plant, Bayer Crop Sciences. And it was one of their waste product processing areas for something called larvin that blew up. And larvin, of course, is the neurotoxin pesticide that has been conclusively associated with the bee colony collapse.
Oh, jeez. Yep. Well, I don't want to leave you on a totally...
No. I understand. But it makes your head go... Don't.
Yep. It sure does. I did want to say really quickly... I thought it was a real shame that Jeff Farias isn't at his post on KPHX anymore.
I mentioned that last night, to, and I don't know what all's going on. It's just, but it is a shame because, and I want to, I appreciate you bringing it up, Preston, because I want to reiterate my view of what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's Air America or Nova M or Stephanie Miller or Jones or mainstream or internet only or terrestrial. I'm not in competition with anybody. The Horn is not in competition with anybody. The only thing we want to do is make it more likely that more people will hear meaningful, renewable, sustainable, liberal, progressive thought and, you know, a little ranting and raving thrown in just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so it disturbs me very much whenever I hear that one of our comrades in arms isn't behind the microphone because we don't have the talent to give. Mm-hmm. There's tons of talent, but they're for the most part not on the air, and we can't afford to lose one voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the Horn needs a pinch hitter sometimes, maybe somehow Jeff can fill in sometimes, and also I wanted to mention and suggest there's some other programs like Alternative Radio and a program called E-Town, which I think both are available for free. I don't know, maybe on the weekends the Horn could air something like that. I'll send you an email.
If you would, please, and I will do my best to get in touch and find out what's going on, because one of the missions, and we've talked about this in the past, one of the missions of the Horn, Preston, is to foster that and grow the next generation of talkers and opinionators and make and have people ready to fill the vacuums when people like Limbaugh shuffle off to their long home.
And a program like E-Town, it's a weekly show, and they mix talks by, you know, Julia Butterfly Hill and music, you know, from Bruce Coburn and Michelle Schacht and all these incredible performers. It's kind of like a old-time variety show or Chautauqua, maybe, where people, you know, share information and share the joy of being alive on this beautiful earth and what we can do to help to restore it, protect it, or at least, you know, represent and said we were in the fight against this evil. So, yeah, etown.org. You'll get a kick out of that.
Okay, and that's just E-T-O-W-N.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'll go and have a look. Preston, I really appreciate it. And if everything happens here in a moment, we're going to try to start our debate coverage and see what happens that way.
Sounds great.
All right.
Good speaking with you, Bob.
Always good talking to you, Preston. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, we are coming up upon the 9 o'clock hour here in here on the east coast of the U.S. And I'm doing some technical stuff with John Fox, and hopefully we'll have that connection established momentarily. And by the way, I meant to thank all of you who tuned in on Sunday for the Blessing of the Mountain, and I wanted to tell you a little bit, and I'm just going to carry straight over into the 9 o'clock hour. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what happened behind the scenes there. You know, the last time, April 5th, that we did the Blessing of the Mountain, we were assaulted, literally, within the old common law meaning of the word. We were assaulted by workers from this hateful mountaintop removal job that's literally on the margins of the New River Gorge and Gauley River National Recreation Areas. All right. Well, Sunday at about 3 p.m. Eastern Time was an exquisitely beautiful day. The leaves were gently moving in the trees and the hardwoods. They were still kind of green, beginning to verge toward red and gold and purple and brown and all the various and sundry colors of the autumn. And it would have seemed that we were alone. There were about, 50 or so of us, and Father Roy's homily was stirring. And for those of you who listened, you got to hear it. And we'll get better at that sort of thing, I promise. But when you're out in the middle of nature, it's kind of hard to set up a recording studio. But no excuses. It was a beautiful thing. But what we found out later, and this is a little bit disturbing. Nah, who am I kidding? It was a lot disturbing. They didn't come right out and assault us this time.